welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Phone number 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. All right. You know, it appears to me I need somebody to warm up my talking to. My morning thing is very solitary. I get up, my dog and my wife are asleep. I make my way into the kitchen. I masturbate, then I get back in bed, and I sleep for another 20 minutes. Then I get up in the kitchen. I probably could have left that part out. Go to the kitchen and make breakfast. I watch a little CNN. I head in. I listen to the radio. But my mouth does not open except for to breathe because I'm a mouth breather. But nothing comes out. And then I come in here 2 minutes before the show starts, and I grunt at Brusket for gotcha. And then it's time to talk, and I realize I've not limbered up. I need to do the equivalent of cracking the knuckles before the pianist sits down at the concerto piano and starts to play. I don't do that. I should be talking on the way
in.
No,
it's authentic.
Thank you.
It makes it seem like, you know, the listeners wake up with you.
Thanks, Dave.
Let's go back to the masturbating in the kitchen.
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo.
Thank you, David. Yeah. Did I say that? See, it's so early. What do we have? Well, we have Braxton Bilbrey. Who's that? That's the 7-year-old who swam from Alcatraz, from San Francisco to Alcatraz. We'll talk to him.
I don't like that.
I don't either.
What?
We've discussed it for many reasons. We don't like young people or people who are handicapable doing things that we either can't do or won't do.
Exactly.
I don't like it.
It shows me up.
I don't like it when the chick who wants to bring awareness to diabetes or breast cancer rows across the Pacific solo, because it makes me feel stupid because I'll not move if I have the wrong remote too close to me. I'll actually roll off the sofa and roll over the edge of the room.
Yes. Cindy last night pointed out something very pathetic about my laziness. The phone mess, the phone voicemail, you know, it's you check it through the phone kind of thing. I think that's what most people have now. Mm-hmm. And so she was checking the voicemail. She said, "Oh, so and so called for you," and I said, "Well, what does he say on the message? Just tell me what he says on the message." She said, "This is a new low for you in laziness.
You can't even
now
do that.
I have
too.
To tell you what's on. You can't put the phone to your ear."
I do that with my wife too. Yeah, everybody has that now. The new phone. You check the message through the message center through the phone, except for the Corolla family. Still not caught on to that. I have to hear, "Pick up, son. Son, pick up." Pick up. "Mom, I've had this for 11 years now. There's no opportunity for me to pick up. And the data center is in Plentywood, Montana, or it's in Pueblo, Colorado somewhere. I would have to fly to Pueblo, Colorado and actually physically cut into the wiring, into the main harness to, in fact, pick up." "Pick up, son. Are you there?" My sister does the same thing. "Are you there? Pick up." "I may be here. It's impossible for me to pick up. It's built into the phone. I would have to take the phone apart to pick up."
Seems like they they think you might be screening.
It's also, yes, but it's insulting, too. "No, sorry, Ma. Sorry, sis. Not good enough for the Ace Man." "Pick up." It's not enough. Aren't we past? I understand for the first 10 years of the phone machine, you had to give the pickup call. Now, that call to pick up is now obsolete, is it not? No one has an opportunity, except for the Corollas, ironically, who still have the old reel-to-reel one, to pick up, right?
Yeah,
can anyone pick
funny.
Up anymore?
It's sad. Movies are at a loss now because they miss out.
You used to get a lot of information
out
that
way. Stealing the tape and replacing it and everything.
Also, the part where the person was tied up. And, you know, they had the tape on their mouth or something. It's like, "Sherry, I just want to tell you, sound always, volume always up at 9. I want to tell you, I love you. I'm looking forward to seeing you. I'm going to be out of town for about 3 weeks. But when I come back, oh, the loving's going to be strong."
Tears running down her eyes.
Yeah, yes. Except if you just hear my mom yelling, "Pick up." "Pick up." By the way, one pickup will do. By the fourth or fifth pickup, obviously I'm not picking up. It's not like I heard the 12th pickup and went, "You know what? You make a compelling point. I'm now going to pick up the phone."
She's giving you time to change your mind.
All right. So let's see. Had things to talk about. Deaf frat guy coming in today. Former governor and mayor of Oakland, Jerry Brown, guy I basically grew up with out here in Southern California, Jerry Brown, will be in. We'll talk to him about politics.
This is exciting. You have many theories. I mean, many ideas to improve our state,
yes,
our nation.
Well, let me say this. This is the lot I have in life. I say, first off, people think I'm a comedian. I'm not really a comedian.
No.
I mean, thank you, Dave. Couldn't you at least give it two beats before you answer? I'm not written down.
No.
I don't write down jokes. I don't really have jokes. You know, people say, oh, you should do stand-up. What would I do? I don't have...
Believe me, he should not.
Thank you. Dave, that's enough.
All right.
Don't pick up.
Just trying to help.
Point is I don't have jokes. I just have ideas. They're funny to people. They can be funny to me, too. I'm not pretending like I'm a, you know, some sort of, Chelsea whatever's name and being there. I understand these are funny concepts, but I mean them. I talked to my assistant, Lindsay, over the weekend, last weekend. She said, oh, I flew home on U.S. Air, and you know what? I tuned into your radio station, and I slept like a baby, and I was elated. I've never felt better. I was like, yes, now there is a station on airplanes that you can punch in if you just would like to sleep. No commercials, just soothing music. And I made some change. I affected some change, and I was elated about it. I feel the same way with all my inventions and all my ideas for society that may come out as entertaining or interesting or funny or what have you, amusing. But I mean it. If we would do this, we'd be better off. And I've been yelling about this with airplanes for 8 years, and everyone's like, that's nice. Now tell another joke. I'm not joking. I mean it. Finally, somebody had some huevos over at U.S. Air, realized, well, maybe it's funny, but, you know, it's also a pretty good idea. They put it in their airplanes, and now people can sleep on their flights instead of pushing the button to get the stewardess over to freshen up the cocktail.
You need an advocate on the inside, and that's what Jerry Brown may well be. So, you know, he's up for the attorney general.
Right.
Now you plant the seeds with him, and he shall water them.
That's right. I'm going to spread some manure over my own ideas when Jerry Brown comes here. Plus, most politicians I've spoken to and said, hey, I'm serious about this, laugh it off, because I realize they're not so interested in doing anything or being effective. They're just sort of interested in, you know, doing a little lip service, a little glad handing, getting elected the next election year. All right, so the other thing we were going to talk about today was this new game show thing. Well, it came up. It came up that I'm going to be doing the Match Game, which is weird and ironic because we were playing Match Game on this show before we got a little cease and desist. And then 2 days later, the phone rang, and they wanted me to play in the revised game show version.
Sweet
or
irony.
Celebrity. Sweet. Oh, sweet irony. Come on, Bri-Bri.
Oh, sweet irony.
Point is, I don't know what came first, the chicken or the egg, but I ended up doing the Celebrity Match Game thing 2006. They've launched a game show series now. They had The Price is Right last night. Ricky
yeah, I
Lake
like the
is
idea
doing
of it.
Yeah, they used the original music. They used the original set. They used the original everything down to the last screw. But the thing is somebody emailed us and said, did you see Adam out in the audience for The Price is Right? He looked very upset and he stormed off. And I couldn't figure out what they were talking about because I did Match Game. It now strikes me that they told us to go out into the audience. They told the celebrities, go out, sit in the audience, and look bored, look upset, look angry, and we'll cut to you, and it'll be funny, because they'll go, Leslie Nielsen, come on down, and they'll show Leslie elated, and then they'll cut to Adam Carolla looking angry and perturbed that he was not picked. I evidently am a better actor than I thought, because people think I was actually
amongst the audience
members and angry.
Call James Lipton, because I looked at an email this morning, and it said, Adam was in the audience, and every time they panned to him, he was scowling. When Leslie Nielsen told him to come on down, Adam appeared disgusted and appeared to get up and walk out. She did not get the joke, this woman emailed.
Well, I'll call Lipton, but I may just be talking into his codaphone. Pick up, James. James, are you there? It's Adam. Pick up. Come on, buddy. This is an emergency now. All right.
And by the way, I think like most of us, if not all of us, were on national TV last night. You were on this game show thing.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa was on Entertainment Tonight talking about her show.
Mm-hmm.
I was...
Physically on the TV set?
You sat on the...
Oh, Nah, I was watching it, though.
All right, Dave, that's
but
not
close.
Same.
It's no, the same
no,
thing.
No, it really isn't.
But
it
I watched
isn't.
The Entertainment Tonight talking about...
Oh, did you?
Teresa yeah. and her... is that your boyfriend or your husband that you're hosting?
That's my co-host.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, J.D. Roberto.
I don't like him.
J.D. Roberto.
Let's hear the clip. This from Entertainment Tonight
last night.
Four single women loveless in San Francisco put their love lives in the hands of a TV show, and they are brave. Premiering June 12th, How to Get the Guy offers hope with hosts Teresa Strasser and J.D. Roberto as the love coaches.
The girls benefit from all of my mistakes, which is basically 10 years of tragic dating.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, that was it.
It is Strasser, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but it's Mary Hart. She can say it however she wants.
What's with the rave music pumping behind every story? I'm going to pop some GHB.
I don't know, but I'm rolling.
I'm rolling. Come on, Daddy-O. Shut the lights. I'm going to, here, you want to suck on this? I got some menthol.
It's all like, that crazy pain stuff. Mark Steinis is always like, we got the latest scoop on Brangelina, and that's coming up for you right now. What does that mean?
Well, by the way, they were covering the Katie Couric story like it was the tsunami. Like Katie Couric leaving was literally just in every possible way you could cover that story.
I heard, speaking of tsunami and Katie Couric, I heard them go last night. Swear to Christ. Katie Couric leaving the morning show. First tier fell at 43 minutes into the... So like I had a diver's watch. I was sinking up. Did she say 44? No, sweetie, 43. Okay. Okay, good. Good. We'll see when the next tier comes.
Well,
43 minutes in. Couldn't say halfway toward the beginning. 42 minutes in is when the first tier came.
When things are important, you have to be exact. And by the way, later in the news, I'll be playing some clips from Katie's last day. It's, some of the things struck me a little disingenuous. I'll let you decide.
Well, here's what I know. I know, outside of the people in this room and my relationship with my former partners, Dr. Drew and Jimmy Kimmel, everybody hates the people they work with eventually. And if they're on the air, they really hate them. You learn to hate the people who work in the cubicle to your right and the cubicle to your left eventually. But if you guys are both talent and you're both on camera or both on microphone, you will learn to despise each other almost immediately. This happens in every comedy team. It happens in every morning radio show team. It happens everywhere where you go. So when they say, 15 years together, I always think, that's worse. They hate each other more than they would 6 months. In 6 months in, you're still in the honeymoon phase of the partnership. Oh, Bryant Gumbel, I'm going to miss him. Oh, really? Everyone else thinks he's a world-class jackass. I couldn't imagine you missing him. I couldn't imagine he'd be any better at 4:45 in the morning when he's at J.O. at 6 p.m.
Well, what's your secret with Dr. Drew? 11 years and you say you're still close friends.
I'll tell you the truth. With Dr. Drew... He is a bottom. He's
a
bottom.
Beta male.
He is the bottom in our. And yes, I'm the alpha. I'm the alpha male. He is the beta. When I'm with Kimmel, I'm a bottom.
Really?
You have to be flexible.
Okay.
You see, you can't always be a top because if you're always a top and you run into another top, well, then you're screwed.
Right.
I'm a top.
No, you're not screwed.
Good point.
Well, exactly.
Yes. I'm a top, but when I run into Drew's a bottom. So it works out. It works out fine. But then I run into Kimmel, and it's like, well, you want to be the top or the bottom? We flipped that coin a long time ago. It's a long time
ago.
And
it never changes with guys. Like, if you have a rapport, like you and Dave, alpha, you, beta, Dave, that can't ever change.
No. I don't think it can unless somebody starts banging a model.
And then
then it switches. That's when the flip and the flop. That's the flop. That's right. All right. We need to take ourselves a little break. We are going to play a spirited round of what can't Adam complain about. You know how it goes. You call in. You give us a topic. And listen, Nietzsche, I'm tired of all the, Adam can complain about Adam complaining about Adam. I don't want to implode over here. Start throwing out stuff like, dolphins.
Keep it simple.
Rainbows and unicorns.
And big boobs.
Yeah.
Puppies.
We've heard them all, but please surprise us. But again, don't turn in on yourself. Don't get all heavy at 6:15 in the morning. Anyway, what can Adam complain about? 866-901-ADAM. We'll play that after this.
The Adam Carolla Show, where everyone's entitled to Adam's opinion.
I absolutely refuse to attend one of these sexual harassment meetings. The next time your company asks you to do this, say no. I'm not going to do it. I have work to do. And then go into the bathroom and masturbate. That's what I do.
If you keep listening, he'll keep talking. The Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, we're playing What Can Adam Complain About? You call in, you throw out the topic, I mow through them.
You're not privy to what these calls are. Mm-hmm. This will be off-the-cuff complaining.
I think you can't complain about frozen burritos.
I can complain about frozen burritos. That's how you know your life isn't going well. When you're exposed to microwaves that have pictures of frozen food on it, and you have to just turn the handle to the corresponding frozen food.
You can't complain about smoked almonds.
I'll tell you, you eat a handful of smoked almonds. You don't wash your hands. Now you go out to the mailbox to collect the mail. You're standing out in the street. Giant bear attacks you, thinking you smell like a brisket steak. Sorry, brisket. Do you know what I'm saying? All right. Too much salt. Well, it sounded like I was going to say something after that.
Interesting edit there, although I haven't eaten a smoked almond since that day.
Thank you. That is my sincere hope for why we play. What Can Adam Complain About? Quickly, we're having, we have 79-year-old Ellen. She called in. She's a dirty grandma. She called in with a dirty joke.
She's saucy.
She's saucy and sassy. And affable. She told me, did I say affable? I meant affable.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
Affable and affable are way too close. And really tough when you're at the Toastmasters. You had a couple of highballs. Herb Wattelstein is one of the, you know, he's a father. He's a leader. He's affable. I walked in there. It's great. I can't wait till I pass 70 and I can officially tune out the world, because she's sitting in the green room where our show is blaring. And she said, "Hey, it's Adam Carolla." I said, "Well, yes, it is, Grandma." And she said, "I saw you in the audience of The Price is Right last night. You looked angry." You looked angry. Well, you got up and walked out. You got up and walked out. Thanks, Granny. It's going to be a great segment.
Again, it's your method acting.
Yeah, so convincing. Even the 10 minutes we dedicated to it on this very show just 10 minutes earlier would not convince her otherwise. All right, so what do? You call in, you throw out a topic, I complain about it. I don't know you, I don't know the topic, but when I hear it, it'll remind me of something to complain about.
Can you complain about that?
Yes, Brian.
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man has a complaint for it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
All right, let's start with Nick. Nick?
Direct deposit.
Direct deposit. I've had it for years. I have no idea how much money I make. I never see money anymore, and you lose touch. It's weird. Then when the alarm goes off at 4:45 in the morning, you think to yourself, what the F am I doing? Why am I going to this place? I need to be compensated. You are being compensated. You never feel it. You never touch it. Then what happens is the money gets directly deposited. You pay everything with plastic, and now we're in some weird nether robotic payment world where nothing means anything anymore. I don't know if a tomato is 5 cents or $5,000. I really don't. I don't know what a movie cost. What is a movie? $2,300? How much is gas? A penny a gallon? I don't know anymore. It's all plastic.
You need Pauly Walnuts to hand you an envelope and slide it into your inside pocket.
Right. I mean, it's weird. I go, I see the maitre d' at a fine restaurant. He sticks his hand out and I swipe a credit card across his thumb and forefinger. I'm lost. And it doesn't feel like you're ever getting paid. It really doesn't. Right. For those of you who have it, it's just you never see that cash. Even when I was making $235 a week swinging a hammer, when I got that check, I looked at it and went, yes, this is why I came in this week.
Tangible.
Now, no reason to come in. Mike?
A sensual massage. It includes a happy ending.
Well, a couple things about the massage in general. First, the tip. this part where you pay 50 minutes for some guy that got drummed out of junior college to throw his hands on your back with a little pab of cream. The idea that that's $120 for that. This guy's 10 minutes education, and he's wearing sweatsuits, and he's exporting wood, and it's $120 for that. And then after that, my wife always points out, oh, you got to tip this guy. He needs to be tipped. And I go, well, why? Paid him $120 for 50 minutes work. Attorneys get paid that much. And she goes, that's all he gets paid. He doesn't get paid. Let him work it out with his boss. Let him talk to the guy that owns the goddamn health club and figure out a way to get $25 out of that $125. Why do I have to then pay his salary on top of that? And as far as the happy release goes, that's great when you get a check. But when you get hooked up with a dude and you force him to give you the happy release, it is uncomfortable.
It's important, but extra 10 seconds.
It is. I would call it a release, not a happy one. A very mixed release.
It's a neutral release.
Grimmest release. Phil?
A good clean dump. Behind your wife and mysteriously nothing there.
I'll tell you, I that is true. It's weird. Every 17th dump requires no paper for the ace man, but every 11th one requires a rainforest of paper. You know that one where it's like, okay, what's this? Every wipe's like a new wipe. It's like a mechanical pencil. You take a wipe, someone turns it a little bit, and a little more comes out. And it's like eventually after about the fifth wipe, it's like, well, look, where am I going? I'm not shooting a porn film. I'm just going to work. I'll take a shower later today. I got to move forward with this. Yeah, the clean wipe is tough because it's confusing. It's like, well, I should wipe again. Yeah, but there's nothing there. What about the paper? Surely I shouldn't throw this away. This is usable. I could use this. I could use it for Kleenex.
Because you don't know how much toilet paper costs because of direct deposit.
Is a roll several $100,000 or do they pay you to take it? I don't know. I just don't know. Craig?
I don't think you could possibly complain about Teresa Strasser's vagina.
Well. Couple things.
I don't want you to fail, but I'm concerned.
Yeah, I do not know it well. We've not met yet, although the day is young. I do hear bad things about it, but I am looking forward to a little meet and greet. We're going to break some bread this afternoon. You want to come, Craig?
Sure.
All right, we're going to be at the Marie Callender's on Wilshire.
I'll definitely be there.
Yeah. Now, the vagina may not be at the table because it always goes with the buffet, always goes with the salad buffet. And I have to explain the vagina. Oh, you think you're on a diet, but you're dumping all that Roquefort dressing all over your greens there. That's where the calories are.
Does my vagina order dessert?
No. No. No sweet tooth. Like salty stuff. All right. One more. Let's see. Let's talk to... Uh-oh. Someone's complaining about... Billy?
You cannot complain about Deaf Frat Guy overhearing you talk about him.
I am a fan of Deaf Frat Guy, but Deaf Frat Guy is a fan of himself as well, and not such a fan of the Ace Man. A lot of tude for a dude who's from that part of town and 22 years of age. You know, he does come in here like his ass doesn't stink, like when he wipes his toilet paper, leaves no mark on it. So he does have some toot. He has a sense of entitlement. Ask Brusket, the many times he squared off with Brusket in the hall. He really looks at himself as the entire program. He looks at us as merely players in the Deaf Frat Guy morning show. And again, I don't want any trouble with the kid. I know he's coming in. I know he's always locked and loaded for bear with that potato gun. So, you know, I'm a fan. Let's just leave it at that. I don't know if he listens on the ride in. I don't know if he ever listens to anything.
Better have somebody with him who can tell him what's being
said.
But
I don't want Moose riding shotgun beaked up on a couple of Mickey's Big Mouths explaining to him what the Ace Man said about him in sign. Or
well,
using the marks
the
a lot for. All right.
That was What Can't Adam Complain About?
Thank you. Well, let's see. We explained that we have our 79-year-old Ellen, grandma, dirty grandma out there. She's going to come in and talk to us. Perhaps we can broach the subject about me being in the audience for The Price is Right just one more time, whether when she comes in. Also, we're going to talk to our 7-year-old kid who swam from Alcatraz to San Francisco. Deaf Frat Guy coming in. Jerry Brown, former governor. Jerry Brown, Janice Dickinson, supermodel, who's now super nutty. But she has a super big mouth and talks smack about everyone she's ever known, so that ought to be entertaining. All that coming up after this.
Sadly, this will be the best part of your day. The Adam Carolla Show.
Fast food is one thing that has not gone up in price at all. Everything was a buck when I was a kid, and gas was 75 cents, and now it remains a buck, and gas is $4.
Hey, everyone's entitled to Adam's opinion. The Adam Carolla Show.
Ellen?
Yes, I think you're so funny.
You're 80?
Yes, I'll be 80.
And you love the show?
I love the show. I love Dirty Jokes.
What do you like most about me?
Your funniness. I like funny. I like dirty cards. I like everything dirty. I'm not...
All right. You live in Los Angeles?
I live in Hawthorne.
I'll run over there and rub some of my filth on you after the show.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
You sound insane. Yep. Well, now we have her in the flesh. I'm just looking at your card here. Welcome to the show, Ellen.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Brusket. It's been a while. What's going on, baby doll?
I got something to show you.
Uh-oh. It's not gray, is it?
No.
Wow, you brought your filthy cards with you.
A belated birthday.
Oh, really?
Pick
yeah.
Pick out which one you want.
A nice nude dude with a cardboard penis pop-up in it. Well, now we're talking some big jugs.
Pick out which one you want.
Well, let's see. You're like a... You know, my grandmother is a dirty grandmother.
How old is she?
Well, she's now 92.
Oh, I still got a while.
You got a little while to go. Yeah. Yeah, she's a filthy, filthy woman. But you, not in that sort of Ruth Gordon comical way. More in a very serious, you're freaking your grandson out kind of way. Talking about water-soluble lubricant used with grandpa and stuff like that. Yeah. Tell us about yourself, Ellen. I'm looking at your card here. I see the last president you voted for was Truman. Was Truman.
Well, if I find somebody I like, I'll vote for them.
All right, but we shouldn't hold our breath as a nation.
55, 60 years has not been enough to produce one person you like.
No.
And let's see what else. You have no...
Oh, yeah. Where are you? Who said that?
That was Dave Damashek over there.
Oh, yeah, wrestling.
A lot of folks mistake us. It says you don't have any modern conveniences.
No. I don't have a VCR.
Mm.
I don't have an answering service.
Mm.
I don't have a toaster oven.
No toaster oven. I don't even know if that counts as a modern convenience. It did in 1953, but what do you have and how do you make toast?
I have a refrigerator. I have a toaster.
Toaster, but not a toaster oven.
Yeah.
Indoor plumbing.
Yes.
How about a TiVo? How about we set you up with a TiVo?
That sounds dirty.
It does.
So you like it. Now, you're 79. You live out in Hawthorne. You retired from what business, or are you retired?
I was in an insurance company in New York.
Uh-huh. And you retired and moved out here to Los Angeles?
46 years.
Mm-hmm.
Still got the accent.
And were you married?
Yes.
And killed the husband, collected the insurance?
Yes, and I'm spending it now.
Did your husband pass away?
He died 2 years ago.
Yeah,
I'm sad.
But there was 12 years between us, so...
He was older than you.
Oh, yeah, 12 years older.
Yeah, and that means 20 years in terms of life expectancy. This is what guys do. Guys marry women that are 5, 8, 10 years younger than them. Then we kick off 10 years before they do. We kick off, you guys. I mean, there's women who have long, fruitful lives long after their husband's in the ground.
You've been living it up, Ellen?
No.
No.
Who keeps talking? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's Dave.
I keep looking at you.
Ellen, remember when you asked me who was the guy that yelled at me? That.
I know, but him. I'm in his corner.
Really?
Oh, yes.
You're in my corner on
this. Yes, I'm in your corner.
Why
with
so?
That. Oh, yes.
Why?
Well, because she shouldn't have got all mad. And, she was getting all excited and screaming and yelling.
I
said, oh, poor Dave.
Mm.
Were you listening to this program?
Yeah.
Okay.
The other day with the F word.
Yeah.
Do you listen to the show regularly?
Yes.
Why? I mean, you're a little out of our demographic.
It's funny. It's funny. I listened to Howard, and then you took over.
And you just stayed on it.
I stayed on.
Hmm. Didn't go with the Sirius, huh?
She doesn't have one of those radios with the channel with one of the dials on it.
Yeah. I don't have the radio.
You just have the old Phillips with the tubes in it. And you hear the guy going, now, from the Dumont Network, to all the seas.
Bong, 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 bong. You're a big fan of Adams?
Yes.
Lucky Strikes presents the Adam Carolla Show.
You look so different. I can't believe it.
Better or worse?
On the back of the bus, you look so different. I passed the bus the other day, and you were on the back
of it. A lot of soot on that.
You think he's a handsome devil?
He's cute.
Cute. Affable?
Yes.
I said affable.
Really? He is affable to you.
What does that mean?
Would you have a sexual encounter with me?
No.
No. Why not?
You're too young.
I move like a 70-year-old, baby.
Still too young.
Really? Yeah. When's the last time you had some love from a man?
Oh, my God. Don't even ask me. Years and years.
More than 5 years?
Oh, God. Something like 25.
25?
Yeah.
And how about dating?
No.
No, why not? They have computers. You go on there, you sign up.
No, they have special dating online dating services for senior citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking for a boyfriend?
No.
No. Not interested anymore.
No. Give me my wrestling, my Jerry Springer, Adam Carolla. Don't bother me.
That's all you need.
All the high-class entertainment.
So, no more sexual libido.
No. Oh, it's a good thing my granddaughters are not listening.
Yeah, they're Mark and Brian fans. So you will go from here to the grave without ever having sex again.
Right. See? I don't need it.
You don't need it.
No.
You're done.
That, when I was young, different story.
So you will go from this day forward
from
to the point
seat,
where you're
from
actual...
From this seat to my apartment.
To your and that'll be it. No
that'll
more
be
sex.
It. No more.
Sure, just a quickie from Big Tad.
Would you like a snuggle? You know, maybe someone to spoon you or give you a little.
If I found somebody, maybe.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
I say we move her into the green room.
Full time. Do you have we hear you tell dirty jokes. Do you have any for us?
I have, but I'm not going to say them on the air.
Smart.
I'm not that stupid.
Shrewd.
Wow. You got all sorts of stuff in that bag.
This is my goodie bag.
Why do I feel like there's a packet of Sweet and Low in there, like my grandma would do?
No,
some kosher candies.
There's definitely a spork in one of those spork napkin cellophane combine packages. No? What do you got for us, Alan? Come on, tell us a filthy joke.
I can't. No.
That's why we brought you
on. Come on, old lady. You can tell a joke.
You can make copies of all these because I have them all home. There.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But this doesn't translate on the radio.
I know.
Ellen, though, can we talk about this? You say you enjoyed the sex scenes in Brokeback Mountain.
Oh, yes. That was good.
Really? The man?
Yes.
Man on man
I
line?
Loved it.
Yeah.
You enjoyed that?
I enjoyed it.
That was titillating to you?
I had my yogurt and my pretzels.
You snuck it in?
And you're not supposed to bring food.
Oh, into the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really weird. You can bring food onto an airplane, but you can't bring tweezers onto an airplane.
Doesn't stop.
But you can't bring food into a movie theater, but you can't bring it into a ballpark, but you can bring it in. It's weird where you can bring the food and where you can't. You think airplane would be the top of the list. I feel happy I get to bring my goddamn shoes. Into the passenger cabin. But if I want to just bring a box full of RB sandwiches, I can gladly do that. This is kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is fine. You can read that.
All right, tell us a joke. Come on.
A woman gets a new job working in a sperm bank, and her friend asks her what she does. She says, well, I just sit at the reception area and greet all the men who come in, and I point to the men where they should go. And when they come out, I say, thank you for coming. That's not, no. Those are better.
But didn't you bring that joke in here?
This is my favorite. But,
I'm going to ask you a very serious question.
You can do it.
Do you know what the date is?
What today?
Do you know
is?
What year this is?
2006.
All right. What month?
May.
All right.
May 31st. What
I was just checking. You're lucid, old lady. Now read the goddamn joke.
I can't.
Bruskett will toss you out of here on your gray ass.
You gotta read it, lady. Come on, you old lady.
Thanks.
Why did you? That's why we asked you to come in here.
I know, but I wanted you to read them.
Oh, you were gonna give me the jokes to read.
You got more personality.
You did such a wonderful job at the last one. I couldn't even tell you're reading.
He'll read that. Give it to him. I insist. Yeah, you do.
Wait a second. Who's more high maintenance, Ellen or Deaf Rat Guy?
Wow.
You read it. Go.
I'm reading it.
Oh, see, nobody wants to read it.
Well, they're your jokes. You found them, right?
No, the people send them to me.
People send you those jokes.
Pictures.
What? How? Carrier pigeon?
No.
You don't have a fax machine?
No, they put them in the mail and they say, the beautiful Ellen. That's how they address my mail.
How is it that people send you dirty jokes?
Because they know I like them.
I like bratwurst. I don't get it in the mail from strangers. Powerful.
Things keep coming out of that handbag like you wouldn't believe.
Who sends you? Oh, my God. Look at that.
Whoa. She just pulled out a Xerox copy of a male genitalia.
I'd say it's about 11 inches.
Wow.
He's got a split.
A split penis. Okay.
All right, Ellen, I'm going to toss you out of here if you don't read one of the jokes.
No, I'm not reading.
Ellen, it's your last chance here. Just try it.
That's it. This will be it. Wow. She's showing us a picture of a black individual with, I would say,
Ellen,
about a 10.5 inch penis.
Yeah, I'm leaving.
No, come on. Just read us this joke.
The good news is
you're funny.
Fired.
It's okay.
It's... all right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Indulge us.
A skinny little white man goes into an elevator. He looks up and sees this huge African-American guy standing next to him. The big guy sees the little guy staring at him, looks down and says, 7 feet tall, 350 pounds, 14-inch penis, 1 pound left testicle, 1 pound right testicle, Turner Brown. The small guy faints away and falls to the floor. The big guy kneels down and brings him to, shaken. The big fella says, what's wrong with you? In a weak voice, the little guy says, what exactly did you say to me? The big guy says, I said... Oh, do I have to say it again? Okay. He asked me, I'm 7 feet tall. I weigh 350 pounds. I have a 14-inch penis. My left testicle weighs 1 pound. My right testicle weighs 1 pound. My name is Turner Brown. The small guy looks up and says, Turner Brown. Thank God, I thought you said turn around. Oh, don't. I'm leaving.
That was like a very, very long drive to eat at a very bad restaurant.
Are you going
to
walk out like Adam did on the game show you saw last night?
Yes, storm out.
I was shocked.
Well,
I was shocked.
I said,
that's Adam Carolla. What's he getting up for?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because I was sure they were going to call me down to bid on that grandfather clock. And when they called Leslie Nielsen's name, I said, shine this noise. I'm gone, daddy gone. I'm out of here. I got my agent on the phone. I jumped in the town car and I was off. You don't do that to Adam Carolla. Wow.
She's pulled out and now a very large centerfold of a naked man. It appears to be from 1972 or 3.
Yeah. All right. All right, Ellen.
I'm leaving. I'm going to go to bed now.
You didn't drive yourself here, did you? Good. Good.
And to think I don't drink. Imagine if I drank. I've had 2 drinks in my life.
That's it?
It was a rum Collins. No, it was a Tom Collins and a rum Coke.
Why don't you drink?
I don't need a drink to be stupid.
Touché.
I drink Shirley Temples.
All right.
That's my speed.
Okay. We'll take, now that Shirley Temple, by the way, is 80 years old, shouldn't we name that drink after somebody else?
Let's call it a Dakota Fanning.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, Shirley Temple, black, is in her late 70s, probably early 80s.
No, she's 80. She turned 80.
You're just pointing it out because you're 79 and she's older than you are.
Yeah. So you know she's 80.
I had a Shirley Temple doll when I was a kid.
She's 80 years old.
She is.
Did you do anything weird with that doll?
I don't even know what happened to it.
That's what I would say,
too. I think they threw it away.
Point is Shirley Temple should now it seems like old, you know, Grey Goose or something. Let's pick a young ass. I agree. Dakota Fanning, until she enters rehab, will replace the Shirley Temple. Ellen, thank you for coming in.
Oh, it's a pleasure. keep joke, make copies.
I hope we'll see her again.
Yeah. I do too. Oh. Enjoy the confusing ride home.
Oh, no, he was very nice. Very nice driver.
Okay.
I mean,
Did you tip him? No.
Uh-oh. Just show him one of the pictures of the naked guys.
The what?
All right. We'll take a break. What do we have coming up in the news department, T?
Well, I'm going to play Katie Couric's last words for you yesterday on the Today Show. Very moving. Mm-hmm. And a woman was praying in Alabama and something very, very strange happened. We'll get to that and more.
All right. After this.
Hey, this is the Adam Carolla Show.
But listen.
Anastasia Ashley, the world's best professional female and boxiest female surfer.
Come on, Ashley.
Go ahead. Is there something good that I'm missing?
No, you were talking about, I don't know, like some type of hookup between you and my boyfriend and me or something.
Dave, if you drank a 12-pack, would you give Ben Roethlisberger a reach around? You could use your terrible towel to clean up.
Stay here because there's a lot more coming up. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what else is coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show. The King of the Roast, Jeff Ross, will be joining us.
Folks, I'm not saying Pam's vagina is as big as the Lincoln Tunnel. I'm saying it's bigger.
The former governor of California and mayor of Oakland, California, Jerry Brown, is in the studio.
Hell yeah.
Need some life guidance? Deaf Frat Guy's here, taking your calls at 866-901-ADAM.
If you're not wasted, the day is.
And a lady who's pretty much slept with everyone in Hollywood, the super nutty supermodel, Janice Dickinson. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Well, all that coming up, but first, Teresa Strasser with the news.
President Bush spoke out for the first time yesterday about the alleged killing of 24 Iraqi civilians in Haditha last November. The president said any Marine guilty of wrongdoing will be punished. According to reports, all troops in Iraq will undergo, quote, core values training, including how to humanely treat civilians.
He, when he speaks off the cuff, as he did about this, he sounds disoriented.
Oh, do you want to hear him?
Ellen sounded more eloquent than Bush.
Let's take a listen to.
If, in fact, these allegations are true, the Marine Corps will work hard to make sure that that culture, that proud culture, will be reinforced. And that those who violate the law, if they did, will be punished.
Yeah, that proud culture.
Hey, yeah. What percentage, seriously, do you think in America, how many people in America do you think are smarter than the President of the United States? What percentage do you imagine of our population is brighter than he is?
It depends. 50? Well, it's weird because it depends what unit of measurement you use to measure intelligence. You know, I'm sure he reads better. I'm sure he would do better on some sort of standardized test.
Oh, I don't think he would. That's what I'm talking about. He's a doof. But go
hit the road. Go do a little bit of traveling. Drive through the heartland and ask for directions. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. I guess you're right.
Whenever CNN interviews that guy on the street that witnessed the crime, he was there and saw the whole carjacking go down. He was there and saw this or saw the fire or wrestled the alligator, whoever it is. You ever hear that guy?
Good point. Yes.
Yeah, that is frightening.
Makes the president look like a rocket scientist.
That's right.
Plus, strategery.
Yes.
That's right.
There's IQ and EQ, and he's obviously, you know, people seem to.
Although he doesn't have either one of those.
He's got neither. Well, his popularity is dropping.
You know, his problem is he's either on book or he's off. When he's on book, when the teleprompter is loaded for bear and he's ready to go, he just mows through it and it sounds fine. The problem is when you shut the teleprompter, he is like a model with no makeup in the harsh noon light. All of a sudden, there's flaws aplenty. There's too big a chasm between what's in the teleprompter. He ought to screw up the teleprompter a little bit so that so we don't get the bends when he turns it off.
Right.
We decompress. He should throw in a couple F-ups in that teleprompter intentionally just so we don't know it when he's speaking off the cuff. Because when the teleprompter goes down, he's blah, 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 blah.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Thank you.
His teleprompter operator is more critical to his career than Karl Rove.
That's right. That's right.
The Dixie Chicks, Natalie Maines, lead singer, she's a person who's had a beef with the president back in 2003. Their new album called Taking the Long Way took the number one spot yesterday on country album charts, despite a lack of support from country music radio stations. Last night, the singer was on Larry King, and Larry King asked her if she was hurt by the anti-Dixie Chick protests.
Watching children at those rallies stomping on our CDs, or there was a mother holding her two-year-old son outside of a show protesting and was telling our camera, screw him, and then turned to her two-year-old and said, say screw him, and that just made me bawl because, you know, I just witnessed someone learn to hate, and I didn't know that kind of hatred existed, and it was weird.
Strategery.
I should have had sex with her when I had the chance.
Wait, you had the chance? That's the news.
Yeah. Well, she invited me to the Grammys. I mean, she called me up and said, will you escort me to the Grammys?
You said no.
And she was single. No, I did go.
And?
No bangage.
But did you feel like the door was open?
No bangage was my frat name, by the way.
No bangage?
Yeah.
I'll tell Def Rat Guy when he comes.
No, I was with my girlfriend at the time, my now wife, but I was with some. I had to talk her into it. These things are done all the time, sweetie. Welcome to Hollywood. It was a great argument. I told her, she was like, you're going to escort one of the Dixie Chicks to the Grammys and we've been together for a year? I said, look, yes, I am, number one. Number two, plenty of perks in this business. Backstage passes, you and your friends get the tickets to whatever shows at the Staples Centers and laminates and all that kind of stuff. This is not one of the good things. But you get rid of this, you get rid of all the good things, too.
Take the good with the bad.
She could have you drummed out of the industry.
That's right. That's right.
Yesterday, big day on the Today Show. Katie Couric said her final words, and in case you didn't hear it, here's what it sounded like.
Thank you so much, everyone. I couldn't ask for a nicer, more wonderful send-off. So I'm going to be kissing you all day long. So I hope I didn't get makeup on everyone. Thank you. And to everyone in TV land, thanks so much.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Why does everyone have to weave their kids into everything? You know, whenever she got interviewed, I'm going to make breakfast. I'll make a hot breakfast for my kids. Your kids didn't need a hot breakfast for the last 15 years?
Yeah, well, I actually did.
They're in their 30s now.
No,
they're fine.
She had her daughters on. She had her daughters on the show, and I have to say, to her credit, she rarely trots those kids out.
Yes. I like that, too. But on the other hand, don't do that. Spend time with your family when you spent the last 13 years doing something other than spending time with the family. During the formative years, you were on the road.
Well, she said, by the way, could you actually point out my kids to me?
Yeah, which ones are they?
I'm pretty sure it's those.
Hope to Christ it's not the fat Puerto Rican kid.
That would be embarrassing.
Thank holy Christ.
I saw an interview with her, and someone asked her, well, if you want to spend, you know, time with your kids, you know, why are you going on to do the evening news? And she said, I swear, I got to make a living.
Sure.
And I really thought to myself, surely she's got something in the bank.
Oh, well, you know, when her husband died a few years back, she was destitute. She had nothing, not two nickels to rub together. Let me tell you something, you know, $8 million a year doesn't go very far in Manhattan.
No, barely get an apartment. School.
Yeah, sure.
In Alabama, a woman concerned about her family's safety during a stormy Memorial Day holiday weekend stood in her kitchen and prayed for their safe return from the beach.
Yeah.
Just after saying amen, she was struck by lightning, leaving her dazed on the floor but uninjured. Now, I couldn't get this woman on the phone. Mm. She was unavailable for comment, but I did get a comment from God.
Mm.
Here's what God had to say.
Listen, I get bored sometimes. I gotta have a little fun. The woman was praying for better weather. I can't resist irony like that. I'm not made of stone.
Wow, you got through to God.
Well, talent booker Mike August said he was connected.
Well, God has a gay publicist that has stonewalled us thus far, and we tried to book him. Even phoners says he won't do. Too busy. Also, and I will ask you this, Dave Damashek. I'm no Bush fan, but the chick who was praying and was hit by lightning in Alabama, you think she'd beat Bush out in the standardized testing?
Touche.
Thank you.
By the way, there's a very good chance that Bush was right next to her making the same prayer. Come on, God, take it easy.
Well, fire officials think the lightning actually struck the house across the street and traveled through a water line. So it almost does. It's a not so sweet irony.
So it hit the house next door, and she was. It came through. She was at
she was
faucet
in the kitchen
or something.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't pray at the sink.
Why not?
Because you're too close to the garbage disposal, which is the devil's playground. Which would be a good name for a garbage disposal. Forget Insinkerator.
Right.
Or, you know, Sink Hog or something like that. Devil's Playground. Let's start putting devil behind stuff. You're going to move products. The more you know.
The world's longest married couple, the world's longest living married couple, that is, have been married 78 years. The British couple says that their secret is constant fighting. In fact, the 98-year-old husband says they have a small argument every day. The longest marriage in recorded history, by the way, 86 years.
Wow. All right. Mine feels like we've passed that. I know it's one of those dog year things. It's only been about 3.5 years, but it really feels like at least 90, 91 years.
Do you have a small argument every day?
No, we have medium and big.
Just medium and big.
Mm-hmm. No such thing as
Who
a small
wins?
Argument. We're like we're sort of like the movie theater when you can get the medium and the large size drink, but there's no small. I win the argument,
you
technically.
You do, because let me say this.
If there's a stenographer,
usually,
I win, but then right. she starts crying at a certain point, and I have to cave in.
Well, Who would do that? Just start crying in the middle of the
fight. Let me say this. It's always, you always hear, like, oh, just fellas, let, you know, a lot of bad stand-ups always do. Hey, fellas, learn a lesson. Just let your wife win the argument. And people say women always have to win the argument. But I don't find that to be true.
Well, they say, would you rather be happy or right?
Yeah, I think women tend to, here's the thing. Women, most of the time, don't articulate themselves quite as well. They don't argue quite as well. Sorry, baby doll. Ironic, I know. I said most of the time.
Thank you.
They don't win. If it was a court case, your client would win, and whoever they represented would walk, but they're going to come back and punish you. That's the whole thing. Like you,
that's the warning,
you get into
right.
a thing, just go ahead, say you're guilty, pay the nominal fine, and move on with your life. You could beat this other guy. Your house is going to get egged every weekend for the next 5 years. Not worth it. Bite the bullet, pay the fine, move on. That's how it kind of works. Women emotionally are much stronger than guys, or can hang on to the stuff. This stuff permeates their viscera, and they will go on punishing you weeks and months after you've won. You win the battle, you lose the war overall.
Well, speaking
That's
of
what
war,
happens.
Yes, Jessica Simpson and her ex Nick Lachey are in a little bit of a war. Jessica is offering him $1.5 million, according to a gossip website. Now, under California law, Nick Lachey is entitled to half of Jessica Simpson's earnings. Now, just in 2004 alone, she pulled down $30 million. So, obviously, 1.5 is a small fraction of that. Sources say Nick won't ask for spousal support, but he's not going to settle for $1.5 million. Now, here's the question. If you ask for spousal support as a guy, is something wrong with that?
It's definitely a weak move. I mean, but there's certain things you get as a guy, like once in a while some guy will get breast cancer or something like that, and it's weird, you want to laugh, but it's sad, you don't know how to interpret it. Either way, he's young, he's rich, he's good looking, he'll be fine. I would do it, not for me, but on behalf of every celebrity male who has been raked over the coals throughout the last 50 years in this country by whatever floozy they were stupid enough to marry.
Well, this is an interesting couple, and we were talking about this yesterday off the air, but when they married, Nick Lachey was a big boy band star, and Jessica Simpson, you know, she really wasn't much. And then she, you know, blew up and was in Dukes of Hazzard, and, you know, he sort of...
It'd be a great move on his part. Get all you can out of her. See if you can get her to settle out for $40 or $50 million, and then donate, you know, $30 million to the Father's Defense League or whatever. This is in behalf of the little guys who can't get custody, who can't afford representation, who the law won't recognize, blah, blah, blah. That'd be a cool move. Then he'd be a hero to the guys, and he'd still have the cool $10-20 million in the bank.
It's a good idea if he's listening.
Thank you. The more you know.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Hey, Dallas Mavericks. Beware the Dunking Gorilla tonight. Mm. Western Conference Finals roll on this evening. If you've been watching, very entertaining playoffs. Tonight, a huge one. 5:30, Valley of the Sun, Phoenix, Mavericks, Game 5. Should be exciting. You haven't watched these playoffs at all, have you, Ace?
I've been...
They're so awesome. They're really
keeping an eye on them. I'll tell you one thing. I will say this about the professional basketball. I appreciate the sport like no other. There are plenty of sports that are sort of, even feel that way about baseball when I see the fat first baseman waddling out to the bag and that kind of stuff. But basketball, you know, there's sports you think you could get lost in. Like, I could play first base for a couple innings in a Major League Baseball game. If no one hit any hot grounders to me, I might be all right. I could field the ball, whatever. Basketball, you would look like a retarded imbecile out there. You could not do anything against those guys. I mean, what incredible athletes.
They're the best. Even guys who were stars in NCAA get in the NBA, and they suck.
That's
yes,
right.
Yes, that's right. Well, you say whatever you want, though. You're not going to discourage me from... I don't know yet. I haven't decided yet, but I may still enter my name into this year's NBA draft.
All right.
Say what you want.
Okay.
Shaq Fu and his pals lost in Detroit last night. Game 6 of that series tomorrow down in Miami. National pastime. Dodgers dumped by the Braves. The Bums could have jumped into first place in the NL West, too, because the Snakes got dumped by the Mets. However, no dice. It was the Gigantics over the Florida Fish. Padres over the Rockies. Junior Circuit. Seattle over the Rangers. Athletics shut out the sorry Royals. And the Orange County Halos lost to the Twinks. Hey, you know what's coming up on ABC tonight? The National Spelling Bee.
Yeah. I love the spelling bee.
That's always fun. Let's play a spelling bee maybe the next time around. The next
wow.
sports. Let's do something.
I don't
fun.
Know the difference between the theirs. Like over there,
oh,
and
yeah.
there are a lot of people in the room.
That's why it'll be
E-R-E,
fun.
E-R-E-I-E-R. Right.
It is frightening with me. Frightening.
There's a lot. This is no news to anybody who follows sports, but for the last 20 years or so, seems like a lot of the athletes get into little legal scrums here and there.
Huh.
And I looked at the Pittsburgh newspaper yesterday in the sports section, and I went to the section called Pro Football Updates.
Mm-hmm.
And this is literally the things that you read. These are the headlines that you can click on. Gun trial for Bengals Henry postponed until August. Steeler wide receiver Santonio Holmes arrested. Two Vikings plead guilty in boat party.
Now, I don't know Santonio Holmes. I'm guessing from the name he's a Jew. And those folks normally...
You know, he's just a man of color.
What?
Santonio Holmes is a man of color, yes.
Oh, boy, is my face red. I'm sorry, David.
Here's another one. Bears Ricky Manning pleads not guilty. Former Super Bowl star Smith sentenced. Sheriff says drones threw wife out window. And it's not just NFL. I don't want to put the stink on just them. Of course, as people know, Doc Gooden is in the clink. You know, he violated his parole and is now doing some time.
Well, they say the devil makes work for idle hands. When you take a guy and you pay him $6, $8, $10 million, and you tell them to take 7, 8 months off, go home, play some violent video games and smoke some herb for about 6 months, see if you can burn up some of that dough we got you. And, you know, yeah, I'm sure you got 26-inch triple chrome rims on there, but do they have jewels on the rims? When you tell a guy, and the guy, by the way, can deadlift 650 pounds, there's going to be trouble. I mean, imagine that thing. We talk about athletes. Forget about athletes. Find me a guy who can take 225 pounds of free weight and put it up 25 times on a bench. Now give him copious amounts of herb. Now give him $6 million. Now give him essentially ninth grade education and 6 months off. Let's see what happens. I'll conduct a little experiment. See if any of those guys end up on the police blotter the following morning.
Well, I will say this. Doc Gooden, he says he hates it in the clink. He'd rather get shot than ever have to go back, he says. He keeps asking him what went wrong in my life, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But to his credit, he's still playing the role of role model. He gave a press conference to deliver this powerful message from the joint to America's youth.
Listen up, kids. This is Doc Gooden with the straight poop for you. The clink stinks. The pokey ain't no joke. Keep your nose clean and mind your P's and Q's, or you'll wind up in the Bastille, the big cage, big house, big school, black hole, booby hatch, brig, bucket, bullpen, calaboose, clink, cooler, coop, dungeon, fishbowl, freezer, joint, jug, keep, limbo, lockup, mill, the rack, the slammer, the stir, the hooscow, the old stony lonesome, and so on. Excuse me. Prison. Warden Sheldrake. It's Warden Sheldrake. Yes, Warden Sheldrake. You don't say. I'll be there lickety-split. Well, fellas, I got a scram. Charlie Manson's causing a ruckus in the yard. See you in the funny papers. Or in 6 months for good behavior.
Doc Gooden.
Wow.
Does he have the same publicist as God?
That is weird.
I don't know that. I'm not a Hollywood insider.
Old Stony Lonesome, by the way. Good name for Teresa's vagina.
Oh, prison names.
I swear I saw that documentary, Scared Straight, many years ago. It sounded nothing like that. Just guys pulling out their fake eyeballs and yelling, give me your goddamn shoes! Wow, that didn't sound anything like it.
Came straight from prison.
Wow!
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Well, guess who's on the phone? Braxton Bilbrey. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Bilbrey. He's 7 years old. He just swam from, I was going to say New York, but that'd be a taller order, San Francisco to Alcatraz Island. Braxton?
Yes?
How are you, my brother?
Good.
We got a lot of range in this morning show. The crazy 79-year-old now, a 7-year-old who swam to Alcatraz. Was the water cold, Braxton?
Yeah.
Did you wear a wetsuit?
Yes.
How long did it take you? And you left from Alcatraz and swam to San Francisco?
That's right.
Yeah. Smart. You don't want to do it the other way around. They forget about you. You spend the rest of your life on Alcatraz.
Hey, Braxton, how come you wanted to do this? Weren't you scared with the people say there's sharks and stuff in that water?
I wasn't afraid of the sharks.
No?
You weren't. And you now have the record, right, as the youngest person to swim to Alcatraz?
Yes.
Because the previous record was held by a 9-year-old. 9-year-old? Guys, you're over the hill at 8 and a half. He shouldn't be getting in that cold water at age 9. So you're living back in Glendale, Arizona?
Yes.
And what grade are you in?
Second.
How'd you learn how to swim? I didn't think Arizona had any water.
We had pools.
Oh, pools. Interesting. What'd you call that invention again?
Pools.
I'm going to write that down. I hear you're throwing out the first pitch at the Diamondbacks game, huh?
Yeah.
Is that exciting to you?
Yeah.
You going to practice so you look good up there?
Yes.
Now, what if somebody beats your record? What if somebody younger swims to Alcatraz? Are you going to build a time machine and go back to when you're 5 and then beat them again?
That would be good for them.
Yeah. So you won't mind if somebody beats your record.
Good sportsmanship. That's nice.
Yeah, because I have twins on the way. They're coming any day now, Braxton. And I will, as God is my witness, I'll force one of them to at least attempt to beat the record. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have the wife dump the kids immediately right into the
right
bay.
Right into the bay, yeah.
Look, sink or swim, one of them will make it, right? There's
sure.
Two.
You got a spare.
Braxton, was it fun to do?
Yeah.
It was.
Braxton, what was your favorite part?
Probably all of it.
Mm. And now, the whole part was your favorite part. The more you know. It took you, I read here, 47 minutes. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
How far is it from Alcatraz to San Francisco?
1.4 miles.
Mm-hmm. And who brought this up to you? Was it your idea? Was it Dad or Mom's idea?
It was my idea.
They always say that.
How did you get the idea?
I was reading a magazine and I was reading an article and I found that a 9-year-old did it.
Hold on. Listen, brother. This is the Ace Man talking. Reading is for nerds. I don't ever want
to
hear you talk about reading again. It poisons the mind.
Don't listen to him, Braxton. You were reading.
You saw it on TV. That's one thing, but reading about it.
You were reading about the 9-year-old.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You said I could do this.
Yeah.
And did you practice? Did you train in your swimming pool?
I trained with my coach, Joe Zimaitis.
And what's next for young Braxton? Any other records you'd like to set?
Yeah, I
want to
swim around the rock.
You want to swim in where?
Swim around the rock.
Swimming around the rock. Ah. Yeah, the Alcatraz. That's what we call it. The rock. Yeah.
Braxton,
me and John Woo.
I don't wanna make you feel bad, but when I was nine, I swam from California to Japan. So you have 2 years to get ready for that. You can shoot for that record. Good luck.
Again, I don't want to shame either, but when I was nine, I finished a pig's trough off over at Farrell's. That's four scoops of ice cream and Jimmy's, the whole shebang. Yeah. I got a plaque. It's the only thing I've ever done. Only real accomplishment I've had in my life, but still came with a nice certificate suitable for framing. So, Braxton, are you going to school today?
No.
No. You off for the summer?
Yep.
And, all right. And what are you going to do besides practice your swimming?
Play with my friends.
Please.
Do you like girls, Braxton?
Not really.
Yeah. There'll be a time, son, when you will love women, and then it'll come around again, and you'll learn to hate them. I'm sort of in that phase now.
It's in seven-year cycles. You know.
Yeah. All right, Braxton. Nice job, buddy. We're very proud of you.
Throw a strike at the Diamondbacks game.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Oh, congratulations.
We'll talk to you when you swim around the rock. Now, how far is that? Is it further than swimming from San Francisco to Alcatraz to go around Alcatraz?
It's 3.5 miles.
Oh. 3.5 miles.
That's twice your previous swim.
Yeah. More than. All right, buddy. Get to training.
Okay.
All right. Take care of yourself. Thank you.
Nice boy.
Nice boy.
Sweet.
I always like it when it's always everyone's idea. There's an interesting thing. Whenever you talk to young kids, celebrity, child actor, stars, people that try to set records and they're still wearing underoos, they always say it was their idea. Always their idea. Like, oh no, I wanted to act. Yeah, but you were four and your mom drove you across town to that. Oh yeah, but I wanted to. I told her to. I never believe it. It's always the showbiz parent that does it. But it's funny because later on, if you speak to any models, it was never their idea. Models and comedians. What happened? How'd you get into modeling? Friend signed me up for a modeling competition. What happened? I didn't even know it. She just put my name in at the local mall. And I just, next thing you know, I'm in Europe doing mountains of blow and hanging out with Middle Eastern dudes. But I didn't even want to model. For some reason, you can't look in the mirror and say, wow, I am hot, therefore I shall model. Somebody else signs you up for it. So when you're a child actor, it's important to do the party line of, oh, no, it was all my idea to act. Somewhere in the modeling career, that was never your idea. And as far as stand-up goes, not your idea either. I didn't think I was super funny. Friends of mine, guys I worked with, thought I was really funny, signed me up for the amateur competition, and of course I won. I wouldn't do a competition, by the way. I didn't want, let's just replace modeling or comedy with gay porn. I didn't want to get into gay porn, but a couple of jokers from the office signed me up. So what are you going to do? Head to head down to the warehouse with a tub of lube. Sure, what are you going to do? Not go? For something somebody signed you up for that you didn't ever wanted to do? Hey, I never wanted to get into gay porn. I didn't want to be the king of gay porn, but I was selling timeshare. A couple of guys in the cubicle next to me thought, this guy looks hot nude, so they signed me up for the gay porn.
Well, I say this Braxton kid.
Good kid.
He's too ambitious for my liking. I don't like someone showing me up by a seven-year-old by doing athletic feats that I could never do.
Sure.
But I will say he was a normal, nice boy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it when the actress or the child actor or actress goes on like the Tonight Show and they talk and they're unnaturally
precocious.
Poised.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't like that. Well, why did I get into acting craft? You know, that's what it comes down to, basically. You're four.
You should be cramping yourself. I didn't want to be in the Klan, by the way. Some guys
signed me up.
Same dudes who signed me up, the gay porn, signed me up for the Klan.
I was walking through the mall. I was white, and they said,
and they just signed me up. They said I had the right look.
Hey, where are the white women at?
I'm just saying, all you models who do that fakakta story about not wanting to model. If you really didn't want to model, I know you were pursuing a career as a veterinarian. If you really wanted to work with ponies, you would have done it. You were 13 and you winged off to Europe. I think you wanted to model. Nobody gagged you, duct taped your hands, and threw you on the back of a plane. Didn't want to do the gay porn clan themed movie, but hey, sign me up. What are you gonna do? All right, we'll take ourselves a, I never wanted to do morning radio, by the way.
No.
Kimmel just threw my name in the hat and Jack Silver pulled it out and here I am. I didn't want to be here. I don't think I'm funny.
It's a call.
I don't think I'm good looking. Let's take a break. Thank you. Jeff Ross. Comedian Jeff Ross, King of the Roast, Jeff Ross, up next. Also, Deaf Rat Guy waiting in the wings. Former Governor Jerry Brown. All that coming up after this.
The Adam Carolla Show. Comedy, opinions, celebrities, news, sports, and so much more.
The Ed on the phone. Ed?
You guys got a new girl there, huh?
Yes.
What's her name?
Teresa.
Hello, Teresa.
Hi. Okay. I enjoy your reviews very much.
I like your news. You got some good news for me.
Stick around. We'll be right back with more of The Adam Carolla Show.
Folks, I'm not saying Pam's vagina is as big as the Lincoln Tunnel. I'm saying it's bigger. It opened wider than Revenge of the Sith. You gotta go to MapQuest to find her G-spot. Is it true that they give free donkey rides to the bottom?
And that was at the Hugh Hefner roast, too, so imagine. Imagine when he gets warmed up. Jeff Ross, Aaron Lee here. Where are my dogs at?
Hi.
Always a surprise when that mic turns on, isn't it?
Well, not for you guys. Like you know I was coming.
For us, yes. Where are my dogs at? Premieres. Why are we playing this music? Brian doesn't know. We have traffic coming up or something? There we go. Premieres next Saturday, 12:30, June 10th, MTV2. Jeff also has The Patriot Act, which is a documentary being very well reviewed. Jeff is too modest to talk about the reviews. Yeah. Actually, he just got done telling me.
The 4-star review in the New York Post. Or
yes,
the
then he opened it for you on your computer.
Right. So
you
can read it. Montreal Comedy Festival winner.
Right. He's too modest to talk about it, but not to punch it up on the computer and then forcibly turn my head and force me to stare at the computer.
Well, it's not like you're going to look it up on your own.
Well, that's a good point. To be fair, though, I'm not only not interested in my friends' careers, I'm not interested in my career either.
That shows, actually.
Oh, Jeff, this isn't a roast, buddy.
Not yet, it ain't.
I will say this. I will say this about the roast in just that format in general. There's a part of you that thinks, well, that went out in the 70s or the 60s with Dean Martin and so on and so forth. Or the format seems dated, guys up there telling jokes. When you see it, you cannot switch the channel. It's intriguing. It's compelling. Even when they run those old commercials for the box set of the old roast from the 50s and 60s, and you know Johnny Carr, everyone's up there chain smoking and telling racist jokes about Sammy Davis Jr. It's nice to have Johnny Carson smoking, looking at Sammy Davis, yelling, "Dance, monkey, dance!" It's like, wow, what's a little different
series
time
of comedy? You stand there and you live or die.
Yeah,
you can't. You see a guy in a hot seat just taking crap from his buddies, you're not going to change the channel.
Do you think it has crossed the line? Do you think it's gotten a little too tough on the people that are in there?
You almost got attacked at the Pam Anderson roast.
Yeah,
you
actually,
physically charged.
I was physically attacked. I think the Pam Anderson roast took it to like the rollerball stage.
Yes.
Aaron here, my buddy, actually wrote Courtney Love's part of that show and spent a lot of time with her. And he kind of knew that she would probably come after me.
Yeah.
I didn't know she would physically charge you like a rhino. I had no idea
that
would happen.
Oh, yeah.
Did she hurt you?
I was there, too.
No. She threw some things. She stormed off the couch, but no contact was made, thank God.
The thing about those roasts now, I realize, lots of collateral damage. They used to be smart bombs. They'd fly right in to the chimney of the Al-Qaeda member you wanted to kill and take him out only. Now, lots of hospitals and orphanages around the Al-Qaeda hideout being taken out, like me.
Half
the jokes were about how ugly Carolla is and about how he's gaying off with Kimmel, and I'm sitting there going, I'm here to roast somebody else, not get roasted.
It's like it's like shooting a Jackass scene. Now they have an ambulance at the roast just in case somebody gets hurt.
Paramedics.
A team of therapists.
All sorts of key man insurance for the host.
Where are my dogs at, by the way? Why don't you explain how that goes to us? I know it's animated.
It's a cartoon coming on, created by me and my buddy Aaron right here.
Mm-hmm.
About two stray dogs, played by me and Tracy Morgan, wandering around the streets of Hollywood, making fun of celebrities.
And how do you... Now, you were talking to me about the animation last time I talked to you about it. It doesn't go overseas. It's not one of these things that takes 9 months to turn around, like Simpsons or something.
No, they do it all on... they've got like a sweatshop of guys on computers at the corner of Sunset and Vine. It's literally like 30 stoners working 24 hours a day. And so it's great because our office was right down the hall. We'd think of a joke. We'd literally run down, say, do this. They'd go, okay, come back in a couple days. And a couple days later, they'd show it to us. So
yeah, I don't understand. I've done a few animated shows too, and the stuff I was doing some drawn together voiceover stuff last week, and I'm like, well, when is this going to air? Oh, it's going to air in about 17 months.
Yeah, we don't do that.
Yeah, why?
Our show's about celebrities and pop culture, so we have Britney pregnant right away in our first episode. Brad and Angelina have a baby in our first episode.
Right, you can't afford the year-and-a-half turnaround time on that stuff.
Because Maddox, their kid with the blue mohawk and the nipple ring, he'd be like 40 years old by the time that animation came back from North Korea or wherever they send it.
So right, his homeland.
We want him to look, we want him to look little, like he's just off the boat from Cambodia.
And how does your stuff look? Does it hold up? Suffer from not going overseas?
Terribly. It looks awful. No, it looks incredible. It really does. These guys are amazing. Like, we told them we wanted this very traditional, like, old Looney Tunes look, and it, except with Britney Spears and 50 Cent and all these people running around, and it looks amazing.
Now, Tracy Morgan is one of these guys that's probably funnier than people know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
So having known him 15 years, I personally think he's the most hilarious person in the universe.
Right, but I would say the general public knows him from SNL, thinks he's funny, but not as funny as the people that actually work with him.
Oh, man.
We've seen him probably take his shirt off at some of the finest hot spots around Hollywood.
Well, I think he's certifiably insane, right? Is he nuts?
He's actually a counseling. He's Courtney Love's sponsor.
Oh, really? Sad. He's on the show tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, that's great.
News flash. Yeah, and I've done Crank Anchors with him. So I know he's perfect for this format. Did you guys
Well, he plays a stray dog named Woof. He's a big fat bulldog with a gold tooth, a Louis Vuitton collar. He's a street dog, whereas my character is a little lost dog from New Jersey who just wants to go home to his owner. But Tracy... He plays Tracy.
Do you guys write it all out, or is a lot of it riffed?
Well, we would write it all out. Tracy would do 2-3 takes, exactly a script, and then he would do something completely insane and bizarre that would be fantastic, and we'd use a couple of those. You know, just we got a good mix out of him of good stuff.
He also plays Tinkerbell, Paris Hilton's Chihuahua.
Mm-hmm.
Who has sex with 101 Dalmatians in a porn video.
And he played Queen Latifah.
Oh, that's true.
Too. Yeah, yeah. He's very multi-talented.
He's very versatile. This is on MTV2, by the way, at 12:30, coming up Saturday, June 10th. We need to take a break. Jeff Ross in studio. Aaron Lee in studio. What's up, Brusket? You want to talk to Christian?
Oh, nice.
But I want to take a break. Do you want to talk to him now?
The kid's probably in homeroom. He probably can't wait to the commercials.
All right. Let's talk to Christian, a comedian. Are we running late or are we running early?
The 13-year-old comedian Christian, who Jeff Ross was benevolent enough to take under his wing and teach the craft of comedy. And then we had the big show at the Hollywood Improv a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Christian killed, as did Jeff Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Where Adam left after he introduced everybody.
That's right.
Well, my wife told me she was
going to kill. To me, yeah, I gotta get home. American Idol's on. The old lady's pregnant. Damashek, you'll MC.
Yeah, that was pathetic.
Christian,
you did a good job though.
Hey guys,
move.
How you doing?
Christian.
Jeff, the show. I got some comments on your show. I got a critique on it.
Ah, the one turns.
Are you talking about this segment, or are you talking about the animated series?
I'm talking about this segment and the animated series.
No. Everybody's a critic. The kid's a critic.
Irony. You've seen Where My Dog's At already?
No, but I've seen the preview, the commercial. He has it on his MySpace. He has the clip.
What do you think?
I think that the show is good, but you need to send it to Korea and give them a few months.
Oh, wow. You dirty rat.
You don't think the stoner hackers in the sweatshop are doing a good enough job on the animation, huh, Christian?
I don't think so, no.
Interesting. What about Jeff's performance?
Today? Now, yeah. Jeff, I think that maybe you should go buy a tape recorder and listen to yourself.
Wait a second. Is that what you told Christian?
Yes.
Maybe you should run and buy a couple of your friends. See what they're doing.
Go home and get your f***ing shine box.
Oh, my little Jedi Knight.
Turning on you.
If you keep it up, I might take you down to a club down here in Fresno, Fresno Improv. I might find something for you.
Ah, I see. Oh, introduce him to a few friends.
Our little boy has become a man.
To be fair, he's strung out on coke. He's come a long way since the last time you saw him. He's into the booger sugar now, and he's spinning out. We're planning intervention, by the way. We need you. We'll talk off the air.
All right.
Anything else for Jeff?
Not for Jeff. No, I'm good for right now. He's doing good.
All right. Well, that's the point is you want to break him down, but not to the point where he quits and gets out of the business altogether.
No, I want him to improve on the show, not get rid of it.
Right. I understand. Maybe just pace it up, pick up the beats just a little bit, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Thanks, Christian.
Yep.
All right. Well, I said thanks.
He's a good guy. He's a good sport, and he's funny.
Jeff Ross in studio along with his partner, Aaron Lee. Now, Deaf Frat Guy coming up next. You want to bring him in with Jeff and Aaron? Okay. Deaf Frat Guy chomping at the bit to come in here. Where Are My Dogs At? Which is coming out, premiering on MTV2, 12:30, Saturday, June 10th, and also the Patriot Act. 4 stars, so says the New York Times. The
Pretty
Patriot
cool.
Act, which is on Showtime. Check your local listings. We'll be right back with Deaf Frat Guy after this.
AdamCarolla.com. It's so much better than internet porn.
This is Republican Representative Richard Martin, and you're listening to the devil-loving Adam Carolla Show. Give Adam a call now at 1-866-901-ADAM. And then go pray.
If you keep listening, he'll keep talking. The Adam Carolla Show.
Come on, buddy.
My owner Jeffy and I came here on a family vacation. I got distracted by a squirrel, and now all I want to do is get back to Jeffy.
I help you find your owner if you help me stay away from mine.
I got your back, Will.
Where Are My Dogs At? Jeff Ross. Also, Tracy. I was going to say Tracy Chapman. Always get this too confused. Yeah. Should we turn their mics on?
We have some great jokes in this show. We have a whole episode where the dogs get adopted by Bobby and Whitney.
Yeah, who mistake them for their kids. They think they're Bobby Christina and Bobby Jr.
Yeah, I love those too. I love, Whitney, whose leg never stops shaking, who never stops sweating. When you see people that are 108 pounds sweating profusely about the forehead, and they claim, oh, I don't do drugs, well, then you have a brain tumor, right? Like, what are the choices? You can't string a sentence together, you're sweating profusely, and your right leg can't stop tapping, but you're stone cold sober, then there's something wrong with you.
It's weird.
Yes, I would claim I was high if I was
now,
there.
Aaron, though, you mentioned during the commercial, interesting thing, that after the roast that we were talking about, Courtney Love
invited you home.
Well, back it up a second. Tell them what happened exactly. This is really good.
Courtney Love, she asked me to stop by her hotel room, have some drinks, watch the X-Files, and see what happens. Ooh. That was, and I had been writing her jokes, and I told her, Courtney, as your joke writer, I'm afraid of getting AIDS from sticking my words in your mouth. So, thank you so much.
And she felt like that joke was a lubricant somehow.
Ladies love AIDS jokes, let me tell you. They just love them.
That's Aaron Lee, by the way, who's Jeff Ross's partner and the co-creator of Where Are My Dogs At. Premieres MTV2 Saturday, June 10th. Deaf Frat Guy.
How hot is Anna Nicole Smith?
Well, we were talking about her, but she's lost some weight. She's pretty hot now. What's happening, Maverick?
Hell yeah, Delta Fu!
Delta Fu Gamma. For those of you who have been, I don't know, under a rock for the last month, Def Frat Guy was drummed out. He was deactivated from the Teak House. He's a fifth-year senior over at USC. He said, screw that. I'm starting my own house. You hear about this with all great businesses. You know, a lot of guys, oh, they got drummed out of this place, so they went and started their own business, and now it dwarfs all others. I think that's what's going to happen with Delta Fu Gamma, God willing.
We have some really cool new guys that are planting the house.
All right.
And some guys that are not that cool, who probably will not make the cut.
Who do you think won't make it?
There's some dudes that are, like, emailing me all the time, and they're like, let me in. I'm like, why, dude? What are you bringing to the table?
Right. You gotta bring something to the party, right?
And, dude, like, it's not your God-given right to be a member of Delta Fu.
Right.
You need to show up and bring something to the table.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah. No, you're not born into this world knowing the Delta Fu handshake. You got to earn it.
But I should say that the motto of Delta Fu is public. It's non-wasted DMS.
Right.
Which meaning what?
If you're not wasted, the day is.
I like
now,
that.
Now, Ross, Jeffrey Ross, yeah. You and Def Frat Guy met each other only once, if I'm not mistaken. You met at the improv show a couple weeks ago.
I bought a T-shirt.
Mm. Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have one, too.
That really? Frat guy, did you enjoy Jeff Ross's stand? I mean, obviously, it was hard for you to hear. Were you able to read his lips from the audience and everything?
He was really funny. There were some times when the mic was covering his mouth.
So you couldn't tell what he
couldn't
was saying.
Couldn't you feel the vibrations from the laughter and applause?
When in doubt, you look to read the crowd, what they're doing. If they laugh, you laugh, too.
Right.
You've learned how to adapt.
Just one tip. Maybe hold the mic lower.
I appreciate that. Everybody's giving me criticism.
Christian, you got a 13-year-old from Fresno telling him how to do comedy. Now, the frat guy's chiming in. Maybe he could play a mixer or something if Delta Fu gets together with the 80 Pies or something.
Hell yeah. Come over, warm the crowd up.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
Jeff.
Yeah, Delta Fu.
See, Jeff pulls chicks, which is something you need in Delta Fu, right?
I have to be honest. Right now, the chicks are not exactly lining up at the door.
It's tough. Even with Poochie, or is he still on the fence?
Poochie's status is pending.
Oh, really? He's not officially signed a waiver of intent to join the Delta Fu?
He's got strong roots with the Teaks, and he's reluctant to give those up.
His dad was a Teak.
Right. Legacy.
Poochie's a good-looking guy, though, right?
Yeah, he looked like Derek Jeter, but, you know, like a foot shorter.
Still, the ladies don't know when he's horizontal, right?
Dude, can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
The other day, Moose was on.
Right.
Yeah.
And I have to say this, dude. Moose is a good guy. Moose is what he is.
Right.
But Moose is Moose.
I promise you this. He will never darken this doorway again.
Wow.
You don't come here and hog my mic. You don't come here and take airtime away from me.
I thought it was your idea to bring Moose in. I thought he was a pal of yours.
Dude, he was giving me a ride here, and the next thing you know, you're trying to make him the next Tom Likens.
Wow.
You're a goddamn disgrace.
You see, there you go. I had no idea. I hope he's not in any trouble at the Delta Fu House. I mean, he's still a member, right?
Dude, I'm a little PO'd at him right now.
Right.
Outside in the hallway, he tried to grab my nut bag.
Well, we know that he does get wood.
He does get wood frequently, yeah.
He's only tweaking my nipples.
Okay.
Maybe you should have other friends that have hearing disabilities so you don't have so many arguments.
Hell yeah.
I think the mic was covering your mouth. And he maybe thought you were telling a joke.
He already asked you.
Or his brain, one or the other.
We need to take ourselves a quick break. I want to thank Jeff Ross and Aaron Lee for coming in here.
Thank you, buddy.
Where are my dogs at? Everyone, go out and watch this. Tracy Morgan also on the show, going to be here tomorrow to talk about it too. MTV2 Saturday night, 12:30, June 10th, and also the acclaimed Patriot Act, which is on Showtime. Def Rat Guy, hang tight.
When is the show on MTV2?
It's at June 10th.
It's on June 10th.
June 10th,
June 16th on MTV.
Yeah, you gotta get the cable hooked up at the new frat house though. So.
We don't even have a house. Oh,
okay, I'm sorry. Listen, it's been a trying week for you. Why don't you decompress for a second? Shake it off.
It's finals.
So you're under a lot of stress. We'll bring you back, and it'll be a whole new day for you. All right, Def Rat Guy?
Hell yeah.
Oh, that was so sad.
I don't like the morose Def Rat Guy. Crack him a beer. Why don't you funnel a beer or two and see if you can't shake out the cobwebs during the break.
It is after 8 o'clock.
That's right. It's 8:04, technically, yeah. Funnel a few brews, and we'll bring you back after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show, where everyone is entitled to Adam's opinion.
The guys that do the healing and the preaching have the most exotic hair. That, to me, is a strike. When I see someone with crazy hair, I think crazy. If they're talking about the Lord and they have crazy hair, now we're out.
Stick around. We'll be right back with more of The Adam Carolla Show.
Somebody is going to get a spot in their ass.
Maverick's potato gun. When he gets pissed or comes undone, my advice is you better run. What did you ever do to get Def Rat Guy mad at you? Now he's got the hairspray and the lighter, and he's greasing up the gun with pain. And even though he can't hear nothing, his eyes are just like lasers. When he locks them on, you've got no chance.
Def Rat Guy probably doesn't want me talking about this, and it's not out yet, but he is working on a 20-spud clip.
Wow.
First potato gun. Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's going to revolutionize. It's going to be the difference between the musket and a Gatling gun, he says. He's going to bring the potato gun into the 21st century, he mentioned.
Does it have a silencer?
Look, we invented electricity, 100 years ago? Why hasn't that technology been brought to the potato gun?
No, I agree. He told me, why go out and buy a pricey potato gun silencer when you can just take a 2-liter soda pop bottle, modify it just a little bit, use a little duct tape on the end, and that works.
I mean, sure, the noise doesn't bother Def Rat Guy, but what about his brothers?
That's true, yeah.
Look, potato gun technology, I'm tired of Israel, Germany, and Japan leading the way.
That's right.
It's time for these good potato guns to be made on American soil.
Yeah, it's so sad. We invented the potato gun here. Now it's all just outsourced.
Everyone gets ahead of us.
You should really, politics, that's what you should, forget about the president of the Delta Fu House, president of the United States, that's what you should set your sights on, Def Rat Guy.
Well, I think he has, it's on one hand, he does deal well with people, at least other people's conflicts, and he's going to take some calls on that right now, but, it's interesting and ironic because you have a lot of conflicts in your own life. You have, you're just going on and on about Moose stealing your mic time. Of course, Blake Chambers, the Rush chairman over at Fiji, who you have always had an axe to grind with. And now even Bruska, you have a beef.
Oh, you're mad at Bruska?
Sometimes I get a little bummed out about my hearing.
And he just takes it out on those around
us. Well, that's understandable.
Well, again, if you have issues that need to be resolved or you just want some good old-fashioned advice, call in 866-901-ADAM. Def Rat Guy will, I don't know if he has any actual clinical training, but he seems to have just good, solid horse sense.
Shoots from instincts.
The head. Yeah. My beef with Bruska is, I've said this since day one, this show is in grave danger of being overproduced.
But who told you that? I mean, that's not even yours, is it?
Someone, I think, told me that that's what you should say, stuff like that.
But that was that Poochie's uncle who worked in radio.
I didn't want to say his name. But yeah, Poochie's uncle was in sales for a while, but still, he knows radio.
Right.
He knows what works.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
And this is not working.
He said it's...
I'm talking about this segment.
He said it's getting a little bit morning dew.
It's a great show. A lot of fun.
Darren?
Yeah.
You have a question for Def Rat Guy?
Yeah, Def Rat Guy. I got a buddy that's throwing a 3-kegger on Friday night, but I gotta go to traffic school on Saturday morning at 7:30.
Mm.
How do I make both of them?
Yeah.
It's a brain twister.
Mm.
pull it all night up.
That's the only thing you can do, right? Well, you can't go to bed at 4:30 or 5 loaded and get up an hour and a half later. You just got to push through.
Yeah, so, Death Rag Guy, what would you do in this situation?
Bro. Where does it say in the U.S. Constitution that there's a law against going to traffic school wasted?
I mean, you can't drive wasted.
Call a cab.
Yeah, you get drunk, you come into traffic school, you got a nice beer buzz, the first part of the day goes right by, then you break for lunch and you're home free. Besides, you just nap. It's not like there's going to be an oral test or anything. You just relax.
Okay, awesome.
All right, Darren.
All right, thanks, man.
Do a keg stand for Def Rat Guy, too, would you please?
Hell yeah.
For sure, and a beer bong.
Carlos?
Yeah, what's up, Adam?
You got a question for Def Rat Guy?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask him what I should do. I have a problem right now with a friend of mine, who is my buddy, he's my best buddy, and we're kind of fighting over this girl. What should I do?
What does the girl look like?
She's pretty hot, dude. She looks like a... She looks like a trashy, like, Tara Reid.
Wait, isn't that redundant?
Yeah, I was going to say that is Tara Reid.
I guess so.
So she's hot.
Yeah, she is.
All right.
So what's the problem? I mean, bro. Dude. Three words. Bros before hoes. Screw this skank, dude. Don't break her up.
Yeah, you know what? Remember, that's what I thought too.
Remember when I was going out with Ashley?
Which one?
The one who is shaved down below.
Tried out.
Right.
No, the shaved down below
that
one.
The tried out one's
sorry.
A different Ashley.
I'm sorry.
Look, we were friends with benefits.
Right.
Right. We were like two peas in a pond.
Mm-hmm.
And then Moose came along and tried to sneak her. But listen... None of this would have happened, right? If we had just done a three-way.
Well,
and this way the chick has got three inputs.
Okay.
Wait, is that what you're telling the caller?
I think he's standing by that.
Well, you and Moose
Don't
were
question
once.
Him.
You and Moose once had a three-way with a girl, right?
It was on spring break. What happened on spring break stays on spring break. Right.
Well, speaking of that, Moose is on the phone.
Uh-oh.
And
oh,
he's,
no.
He's not in a good...
Bro, I told him he would never dock in this doorway again.
And he's taking your airtime again right now by calling in.
All right, listen, I'll cut him off if he gets out of hand. Moose?
Bro, you know the stats. 225 times. I'll come down there. I'll wail on you.
Okay. All right.
I got
so
a code.
All right, but let me say this, Moose. You may be strong. You may have upper body strength, but... Def Rat Guy has not only his members to back him of Delta Fu Gamma, but his armada of potato guns.
Right, and cat-like reflexes.
That's right. That's right.
I helped him put that gun together.
Okay. Yeah, maybe you two should just patch it up.
Go
Def
back
Rat
to
Guy.
Sleep, bro.
Bro, I can't go back to sleep now. I gotta work it out.
Bro, not everyone's on-air talent.
You don't think Moose has the chops?
I told you I was nervous, man.
Bro, Moose. The good thing about Moose is he's Moose. The bad thing about Moose is he's Moose.
I understand.
Go home and get your f***ing shine box.
All right, I'm going to cut Moose off here. I don't want this to get ugly.
I mean, bro, no, by all means, have Moose on if you want this show to turn into the morning zoo.
It's in great danger of becoming overproduced.
Yeah, really are getting close to that overproduced line.
You can't like that Moose, and Moose didn't just happen to wind up on the line. You know Brusca went and
Brusca
told him
overproduced
to call.
He set him up, yeah.
And let me just say one more thing. Poochie's uncle, he said that the thing, it reeks of amateur. He said the whole mood thing was hacky.
Wow.
And he's in radio.
Steve?
He's on the sales line.
Steve,
what's that?
Let's try to put this ugliness in our past. Steve?
Yeah.
You have a question for Def Rat Guy?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to say, Damashek, love the Jerk Report. Great job. Adam, love the show.
Thank you.
Thanks to everybody that's on the show. And Rat Guy.
What's your question for Maverick?
I want to be a frat, but I know, frat guy there is low on the funds, so to help with his potato gun funds, I will hook him up for cable.
You can buff him out with cable.
Yeah, don't tell anybody.
But there is no actual Delta Fu Gamma house at this point, am I right, Mav?
Right now we have an online house.
I saw on defratguy.com, actually, you have the blueprints all drawn up and everything. Mm-hmm. Do you have a lot of land already?
Bro, that part's even gone. The house kind of fell through.
Well, can I ask, Maverick, where are you living now?
Dude, I live where... Dude, wherever I hang my hat is home.
You mean your visor?
Your SC visor.
But, dude, I just wanted to say to Steve, bro... If you're going to hook me up like that, bro, you put the sack in Sacramento.
That's nice. He's calling from Sacramento. Oh. All right, let's take ourselves a quick break. Mav, can you hang with us?
Hell yeah. Get the food.
Jerry Brown, I'm glad to see you back in good spirits. Former Governor Jerry Brown and Mayor of Oakland. Jerry Brown going to be in here in just a couple of few.
And Carolla's going to tell him all his big plans
to
make California better.
I got ideas for this state. We will talk to him first. A few more of your questions and more advice with Def Frat Guy after this.
The Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
Dodgers hosting the Atlanta Braves at Chavez Ravine.
Chavez Ravine, by the way, is what he calls his wife's private parts. Yeah, it's true. That's why he always gets angry when I says I'm heading down to Chavez Ravine to eat a dog.
Stay right here. There's more coming up. The Adam Carolla Show.
Okay, you're listening to Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 1-866-901-ADAM. That's 1-866-901-ADAM.
Here we go. Put the headphones on. Mr. Brown, Jerry Brown. Now, I grew up in Southern California, so I remember when Jerry Brown was governor, and also used to eat at a Mexican restaurant that used to hang
Lucy's.
Out. Lucy's, El Adobe, right across the street from
Yeah, I still
Paramount
eat there.
Oh, you
occasion.
Do?
Yeah.
Well, you go slum it every once in a while.
Well,
God bless you.
I wouldn't say that. That's a great eatery.
Sure. All right, well, maybe get a free taco next time you're there for saying that. Running for Attorney General of California, what does the Attorney General do exactly? Forgive me, but...
Okay, most people don't know. The Attorney General is the lawyer for the people, for mm-hmm. the governor, for all the state departments, like the Air Resources Board that enforces air regulations, the Water Quality Board that protects the purity of water, the Department of Forestry, Fish and Game, Consumer Affairs, Banking, Agriculture. Everything that the state does through a department or agency mm-hmm. looks to the Attorney General for legal advice. That's the first thing. Second thing, supervises the sheriffs, the district attorneys in the state as the chief spokesman for law enforcement. Mm-hmm. Thirdly, supervises Indian casinos, card clubs, all nonprofit foundations,
yeah.
issues opinions, and sues the bad guys whenever they're breaking the law.
Right. And we...
Polluters as well as criminals.
Now, where, you see, for, you know, I'm a lay person, but it seems to me that too many people in prison for pot, drug-related, whatever, not enough room for violent criminals. Marijuana legalization or decriminalization, where do you stand on that?
No, I'm not for that, and I'll tell you why. A lot of people selling marijuana are part of... Mexican drug cartels, the people that planted up in Mendocino, a lot of those people have guns, they're killing people. It's a pretty serious matter. We do have medical marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
In Oakland, there's three places where you can get it. Most of the cities have that. Secondly, marijuana used to be a misdemeanor felony.
Mm-hmm.
I reduced it to a $100 fine, no arrest, a record expunged in 2 years for an ounce or less. That's been the law in California for a long time. The controversies about marijuana, people become more pro, more anti. But over time, I think the accommodation that California has made is a reasonable one. At the same time, in prison, I don't think there are very many people. I'd be surprised if there's anybody there for possession of relatively minor amounts and probably far more than an ounce of marijuana. And what you got in the prison are people who are antisocial, who rip off their neighbors, who get in violent conflicts. These people, I can tell you,
Perps.
Well,
you're going to take them down?
I'll tell you, in Oakland, we see these drug sellers. They don't use lawyers. They use guns when they get into a fight. And there's a limited number of good corners to sell, whether it's heroin, ecstasy, or pot. And they shoot it out. And that's why we have such a murder rate, is because these crazed people, even ecstasy used to be some kind of drug that made you feel nice. It's working the exact opposite. It's intensifying anger and driving people crazy.
Meth is probably the most dangerous of all the drugs in terms of people acting out violently when they're on it.
It may be that ecstasy is now driving people crazy because it's making them so, it's intensifying the emotion. There's a lot of anger on the street, and those people are using guns. And that's where in L.A. and Fresno and Oakland, you find a lot of this killing going on.
All right, but I would say that if you legalize marijuana, then you don't have the guys protecting their pot farms. It's sort of like, you know, the mob with prohibition.
I really think that's not the big problem in Oakland. It's not the big problem in California. We do have 180,000 people in prison. 60 to 70% of them, after they're released, are going to come right back.
Yeah.
And there's a big problem that nothing happens to people in prison that modifies their behavior or at least gives them the opportunity to learn something, to get some skill, so when they come back, they're on the return.
They network.
Already.
They go in there and they network. It's like a big frat house. They meet up with guys. They learn how to do their crimes a little better, and then they get out and commit them again.
The only thing worse.
But what do you do What do you do to fix that?
Well, here's the problem. It's bad when they're in there because they're all planning their next crime. But it's worse when they're outside terrorizing people.
Right.
Okay. So there it is. I think you need two things. You got to have training and have sentences that people can earn their way out by equipping themselves to do something other than just rip people off when they get out. And the second thing, people who have shown a tendency to violence, you got to put up one of these monitoring bracelets on them so you know where the hell they're going.
Well, how do you feel about that sort of the man in the eye in the sky stuff? Because I'm for it, by the way. I was watching the news this morning. They showed an attorney that was abducted in a parking lot. They had a video surveillance camera in the parking lot. They were able to see the person that abducted her and forced her into her car. Then they followed records of her ATM, and then they followed the guy's record when he checked into a motel, and they eventually found the guy and caught the guy, all because Big Brother essentially had this network set up to watch. But some people don't like that.
Well, I have to say, there's two aspects. Big Brother is definitely on the way. The technology is going to allow for very comprehensive, intrusive surveillance. On the other hand, when you live in a neighborhood where there's shootings, where there's danger, you're pretty glad that some of these technologies exist. One of the ones we're putting in Oakland is something they call the shot spotter. They can pick up literally within seconds where a shot is fired within 15 feet. Mm. And that's very helpful to get the...
How does that work, that technology?
It works on sound. Well, we're trying it out. The way it has worked in a few cities. And what it does is it can distinguish the sound of a gunshot from other background noise, a car backfiring or a firecracker popping. Mm. And once...
I got something called a fart finder I want to talk to you off the air about.
It works on the same way.
Yeah, when we go to Kimmel's and watch football on a Sunday and some guy, you know, beefs and no one will cop to it, I really would like to, you know, get to the bottom of it.
You can select the sound out from other noise.
That'll be the second generation, and we're going to have that in Oakland.
I agree, by the way. I can't stand all these people talking about this sort of dark Orwellian future we're in for when Big Brother controls everything. I was thinking about it. I thought, here's what Big Brother wants. Here's what the government wants. They want money. They put cameras up at intersections so they can get revenue. They claim it's for safety, but what they really like is the byproduct of that safety, which is the money that comes in. Other than wanting your money, that's all. They'll put the cameras everywhere, and don't worry, as long as you're not carjacking anyone, the government's not coming after you.
Well, I can tell you, in some places of this state, you need that kind of surveillance. I'm sorry to say.
And what
about these? I like a freer world, but it's too threatening.
But I don't think the fact that people know what you're doing when you're not doing anything, I don't look that as an infringement on my freedom. I really don't.
You don't want to take that argument too far, but on the other hand, when you got terrorists that can blow up Disneyland, can blow up the freeway, the Golden Gate Bridge, the port of Long Beach or L.A., pretty serious stuff. So we have to defend against it. It's just, that's where the future is. You get a lot of goodies with your technology. This complicated radio operation here has a lot of technology, but the...
We're not
the
being heard outside this room, by the way.
Oh, yeah. This is going directly to George Bush's that. White House's basement, and every damn thing you say, particularly that fart detector is going to
be
recorded in the White House basement.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Cabinet meeting, it could be useful.
Let me ask you about something.
Maybe they get a little clarity about what they do.
Let me ask you something I've been thinking about for a while. And I want you to, Jerry, if I can call you by your first name.
Yeah, please.
Remain sort of neutral and buoyant before you chime in too quickly. We brought the guys in here. They have a firm up in San Diego called No Lie MRI. They have functional CAT scan machines now. It's no longer, you know, putting a couple electrodes on your inner elbows and your nipples and seeing if you're perspiring to see if you're lying. They now look at your brain. They tell when it turns different colors, and now they can tell definitively if somebody is lying or not. Even if you're a diabolical mastermind, you still can't stop your brain, your cerebellum, or your frontal lobe from changing colors when it's looked through the eye of this MRI machine. How about we abolish the court system completely and just start using this technology? Like in football, we use instant replay. It's a technology we now have. It can tell definitively whether the guy stepped out of bounds or not. Why are we taking the word of 6 or 12 people who are bought off, possibly, who are, you know, OJ's playing golf right now? Why don't we use this technology and save money? That's the platform you should be running on.
Okay, great idea. Have you seen Minority? Did you see the movie Minority Report?
Yes.
Precogs. I go you one better. We're going to have precogs when I get elected.
Fantabulous.
We're
going
to stop the crimes before the criminals even conceive of committing the crimes.
Now, that's tough on crime.
I know you're being facetious now.
That's called
mindless
crime.
What about it? Is this too much, Big Brother?
Hey, I don't believe it's possible. I don't believe lie detectors work, and I don't think the brain is where your brain, at least at this point, and maybe never, can capture thoughts. And the more psychopathic you are, the less there's any discrepancy in your presentation. So,
what do you think our batting average is now? The system we have in place.
I think it's totally unreliable. I don't believe in lie detectors.
Right, but what about the system that's in place now? I mean, if you have a bunch of money and you can afford adequate representation, you're probably going to walk. You think that's better? I mean,
that's true of campaigning. Look at the people who win and the ones who can buy the votes.
Well, what
for
if,
television?
What if there was a machine that could just tell us who the best candidate was?
Yes.
Well, I'd like to see how it works. Could I try it first?
Don't get near it, Governor.
We were talking.
I want to get one of those machines.
I'm saying if we had that machine, you would want to use it because you know you're the best.
No, here's the problem. Technology is not the answer. It's still, you're a human being. You believe something. Somebody else believes something else. You got to take a vote on it. You got to work it through by give and take discussion.
But you're for stem cell research, are you not?
Yeah.
What about that technology?
Within limits. I mean, I think
technology marches forward.
I don't think I want embryo farms to be manufactured by, if
they're making hot chicks.
Exactly. You want something,
this
and then you're ready to give up your freedom.
Why are you going with a system that's 2,000 years old? Why not march forward with this technology?
Don't get too enchanted with technology. It's the prime. You think you can get everything for nothing, and life is still has its tragedy. It's good. You grow up, you get sick, you die. You can't avoid that. Technology has a lot of hype behind it. There's a lot of sales, a lot of profits.
So you don't believe
it. And people are hustling you. I believe that when the evidence shows, but I think there's been overhype on technology.
All right, but what
if people believe in technology like they used to believe in God? They think the big tech is going to take care of everything in the world, and you were kind of saying it facetiously, but there are a lot of people out there listening that, you know, they read about the medical miracles, they read about all these breakthroughs, and a good part of the time it's hype and it's far less than the claims being made for it. So I'd say common sense, be practical, and take everything with a grain of salt.
What about, like, DNA database stuff?
Well, they say that's pretty good. I mean, it catches a lot. They say that stuff works.
Now, what about stuff like this? Does this chap your hide where somebody, well, I remember this story about,
By the way, when the DNA gets far enough and all our DNA is covered, then people will say, well, I have a trial. Just check the DNA and we'll go to the DNA lab.
Fine.
I'm not going there yet.
I don't believe the government's inherently evil. I just think they're stupid and they want your money. I don't think they want to lock up taxpayers for no good reason. That's what everyone else thinks. I just think they want your money, and they want to keep society safe so you can keep paying taxes. But DNA so database.
You would take it basically a tyranny of technology in yes. something better than what we have.
Here's what I think. I think that this MRI machine is into the 90 percentile in terms of its accuracy, and the system we have now is probably in the 60s. In terms of its accuracy, it could go one way or the other, depending if you're poor or black, or if you had a team of attorneys. Why take something that's in the 60 percentile versus the 90 percentile? But let's not.
Well, that's just the American way of life.
I agree.
Your thinking is very subversive.
Thank you.
And probably Lennon was your inspiration. But aside from that, I think it's good.
Well, you don't think John Lennon?
No.
Well,
let me ask you this quickly about DNA.
L-E-N-N-I-N, I think it's about.
The few years ago, somebody decided, hey, you know what we ought to do? We ought to go to death row. We ought to get DNA samples from everyone who's on death row, and we could wipe some of these crimes off the books, because a lot of these guys travel around. If you murdered one guy, chances are you murdered five other in Kansas, and you're in Kentucky now. So let's do it. And the ACLU pussy stepped in and said, no, you can't do this.
The DNA, first of all, we have...
What would you do? No, what do you think?
We should use the DNA. In fact, we passed a...
Should you force prisoners to all submit DNA samples?
We should all have their DNA. Every felon's supposed to give DNA. That's a law that the people of California voted for.
Right.
And I support it.
Okay.
Yeah, the ACLU is wrong.
And what about the DNA data bank? What about everyone who gets a license has to give a DNA sample?
I think sperm sample. I want to...
One or
See,
the other.
You can never stop. If I say yes to that, pretty soon you're going to have a precog in the next room telling us how to stop crime before it happens.
I want to plant a device in your right ear so that I can monitor you.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think about a chip?
How about a chip implanted in your brain so I can figure out what you're thinking?
You take that one off your shoulder, mister, and I'll put it in my brain.
Look, that will be proposed sometime in your lifetime. Put chips in people.
Why don't you talk some smack about Rocky? Who's your guy? Rocky Delgado. Is that the guy running against you?
Hey, that's close enough. That's close enough for talk shows.
Delgio. Yeah. What is happening? First off, I don't like this guy. I don't trust a guy named Rocky.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Why are you going to do a better job than him?
Well, because I know what I'm doing. I've been around. I've been served as governor. I've argued in the Supreme Court. I've had criminal trials. Mm-hmm. I've been a mayor in a very tough city. And I just think that my background, my interests, I've been all over the state. I've seen things. I've been all over the world. I've lived in Mexico, Japan.
I dated Linda Ronstadt. Don't forget about that.
I mean, who'd that guy date, Rocky?
Yeah.
You know what? He's not talking about it, but maybe we ought to inquire. That might tell you something.
He told me he got a handy from Joan Baez in 71, but that's as close as he ever got to that state.
He was blowing in the wind.
He's a young kid. Yeah, maybe he was bragging.
All right, I'll have to let you... take this discussion to the next level, or the lowest level.
Well, I'll do you one better. We got to take a break. Jerry Brown is in studio. I know him as Governor Jerry Brown. Stare at his beautiful mug every time I eat at Lucy's. Barbecue tacos, by the way, over there, Jerry.
Good.
Oh, the best. You never had the barbecue tacos at Lucy's?
I get the Jerry Brown special.
You just lost some. Oh, really?
Wow.
That's arroz con pollo.
Chicken and rice.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
Not a lot of pork bellies. We'll take a quick break. Jerry Brown in studio will be right back after this.
Can I get my webpage sometime?
I'll give it out right now.
JerryBrown.org. Dot organization. www.jerrybrown.org.
Thanks, Jerry. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, this is the Adam Carolla Show.
But listen.
We're playing What Can Adam Complain About? You call in, you throw out the topic, I mow through them.
The comedic gold of Dave Damashek's Jerk Report.
That never-ending dirge from yesterday, that 22-minute dirge from yesterday.
That's because you kept interrupting
22 minutes long.
That's because you interrupted.
Tell you what would be faster, name the people who aren't on the Jerk Report.
Stay here because there's a lot more coming up. The Adam Carolla Show.
Jerry Brown. I grew up knowing him as Governor Jerry Brown because I grew up in California. www.jerrybrown.org. Jerry Brown, one word, .org is where you go to find out about his campaign and where he stands. I know you're pressed for time. Maybe not under your jurisdiction, but let me ask you this. What about the bullet train? When I was in high school, they were talking about building a bullet train from L.A. to Vegas, a bullet train from L.A. to San Francisco. That would be great to
fabulous
have a bullet
idea.
Train. What's up? Because we have the seventh largest economy in the world. Why can't we get a train?
You got small-minded politicians. It's obvious. We generate a $1.5 trillion in wealth every year. A bullet train might cost $50 billion, but it'll last for 100 years. So it's a great idea. They're doing it in Japan. They do it in Germany. They do it in France. It's just, you know, people are fearful. We're in a society where there's not big, bold ideas. The biggest bold idea is to build more freeways when you could be doing a bullet train, hovercrafts, ferries in different parts of the state. It's a great idea, but you know what? They're not listening to you.
But isn't it true that every time we try to do that, somebody comes out, some tree hugger, and talks about some indigenous lizard that's living in the desert somewhere between here and Baker, and now the things get tied up in the courts for 10 years?
Exactly.
What can we do?
Well, you got to get those indigenous lizards. That's it. It's them or us. Hey, I got to go.
I understand. JerryBrown.org is where you go to find out more. We appreciate you spending time with us, Jerry Brown.
Thank you, Mayor.
My pleasure.
You'll be getting my vote come whatever month we vote in.
He gets to be in Oakland. Tuesday.
Oh,
right?
Tuesday?
That's right.
All right. Well, listen, the point is absentee. I do the absentee thing.
Sure.
You know, I travel a lot. All right. Deaf frat guy got usurped by Jerry Brown. I'm sorry. The man was pressed for time. Deaf frat guy.
Bro, that was his Snorfest.
You didn't like that?
Snorfest.
I was in this nudding.
First off, Jerry Brown, well, maybe you haven't been around long enough to know Jerry Brown, but I mean, the guy was the governor of one of the greatest states in the union for like 8 years.
I don't care if he's the dean.
He's more than the dean.
Dave, don't try to explain it to him. Right. Point is, listen, Mav, we had to set you aside for just a moment. Just had to let you cool your jets for a second because he was in a rush. Now, I apologize. We can move forward with your segment.
Putin's uncle sent this show. He said it has to be sexy.
You think talking politics with Jerry Brown is not sexy?
Brodsky's leaving, dude. You should be listening to this. I am your target audience.
We are doing some advice soon, so why don't you give me advice on how to produce it? Produce the show.
Bro, I'm your target audience. If I'm in there snoring, what do you think the average Joe Dick Pack is?
Young, white, deaf male. Basically who we're going for on this show.
Bro, you're trying to appeal to Joe 30 Pack.
I think it's 6 Pack.
One
I know you guys have upped it a little. It should... Oh, wow. Can we get to 30? We should up Joe 6 Pack because I can barely catch a buzz on a 6 or a light beer anymore. Joe 30 Pack, I like that.
I had a little bit of an awkward moment when the mayor was here sitting right next to me and Def Rat Guy Maverick... You know, when he gives advice, sometimes, you know, he jots down notes, and there was a note right in front of the governor. I'm reading it now. It says, three-way, she's got three inputs. And the mayor is looking right at it, and I don't know whether to move it. You know, it's like when your dad comes over, and there's a condom out, and you don't want to call more attention to it, but thanks, Maverick.
Yeah, man, you got to stop writing down those ideas, please.
Hell yeah.
Sorry you got busted, buddy. Well, you, I know you got some stuff to move. I know. Here's the whole thing. Delta Fu Gamma is not going to build itself. I'm sorry, but these things take funds. Yes?
Bro, I wanted to say something.
Yes.
Be careful with leaving condoms on the floor.
What can happen?
Here it's how Moose got busted with acne, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
She shaved down below.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So she comes to his room, and there's a domer on the floor. And it's got a pube stuck to it.
Oh.
Actually, it's shaved down below.
Oh, dead giveaway.
Right.
That's how she knew.
You do the math, yeah. Where'd that pube come from if she's got none?
Yeah.
Right. Where'd that branch come from if there's no forest? Interesting. Interesting stuff.
All I'm saying, be careful.
Yeah.
Keep your head up.
Yeah. No, no, it's good. Good sound advice. Well, again, the kind of universal advice that I think all our listeners could use. And I agree. Our demographic is young Joe 30 pack, as
I'm
you
sure
say,
they'd be the interested in the deafratguy.com newest merchandise, which is the beer funnel keychain. I'm looking at it now. It's a nice item.
Right.
Look, this is a lot of beer funnel keychains are not functional. This one you can actually use.
You put a shot of Jaeger or something in there.
Hell yeah. Anywhere to discreetly enjoy your favorite beverage.
It's only $10.
Listen, I need to get this house.
I understand.
Right? No, I'm going to make a living here. Give me a break.
It's like some people, once in a while you see that guy who likes boxing has the mini little boxing glove hanging from his keychain. It's not, can't be used in the ring, but it just signifies the kind of lifestyle that he's into. This is what the funnel is, but again, it's functional and it's discreet. Mm-hmm. A lot of you guys going to a ball game. It's cold outside. You've been tailgating, caught a little buzz. Now you want to fill up the flask with Jaeger and head into the stadium all bundled up. You can't just unscrew the flask and take a nip of it underneath your coat. No, you have to funnel it. You have to funnel it. What's discreet about funneling it, though? I don't understand.
Because if you're going to a ball game, you do not want to bring a 5-gallon funnel into the...
Oh, I see. I see.
They'll take it.
You're working on the premise that you have to funnel in the stadium.
Hell yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
We found, doing the research for this product, we made an interesting discovery.
Right, a lot of you can also, R&D.
Because the funnel is stainless steel, you can also enjoy your favorite smoking blend.
Oh, I see, too. Yeah, you shove that right in the top of an apple, and you got yourself a mobile bong. Nice. That's a good point. Makes a nice bowl, also a nice funnel.
Sometimes if I'm stuck in traffic,
mm-hmm.
I'm going, man, the cars aren't moving at all.
Right.
I wish I could just take a funnel right now. Right. Now I can.
Right. You have to take the keys out of the ignition.
And
but
dude,
yeah.
It's not like I'm doing a 9-beer funnel.
Right.
It's
no.
A discreet. It's just really
responsible.
You're taking the edge off. That's all you're doing. You're not catching a buzz, not a full buzz.
Cut that on road rage.
It's more dangerous. People talking on cell phones pose a greater danger to other people on the road than Mav doing a couple of funnels in traffic.
And Mav's got a lot on his mind right now, and he's got a lot making him tense. He's got issue with Moose. I don't know what's going on with Blake.
Blake Chambers is trouble.
Dude, F Blake. But I want to say something to the people out there.
Right.
Try my product.
Oh, that's it? Okay. Yeah, no, it sounded like something was coming.
You just believe in the product.
You believe in the product.
You don't have to do some,
try
snake oil salesman pitch.
Try my product.
And again, you're out. It also sort of shouts to the world the kind of lifestyle you're into.
Right.
Here's what I'd like to see. The kind of world I'd like to see is where these things become commonplace. You run into other people with funnels hanging from the keychains. You strike up a conversation. Mm-hmm. Talking about going home and funneling. You meet a hot chick. She's got a funnel. You tell her, well, I got the granddaddy of all funnels back at the apartment. You want to check it out? It's Partyville, USA.
It would be a great day when everyone has a keychain funnel and the government has to hold a bank sale to buy a bomber.
Oh, it's a good bumper sticker, too. You ought to come out.
I think Mayor Brown must have said that.
Yeah, so if you were running, it'd be a chicken in every pot and a funnel on every keychain. I like that. I say Deaf Rat Guy for president. How say you?
If I were president, we would all be living high off the keg.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. What is the website again? DeafFratGuy.com. Go there, buy your T-shirts, get your funnel, sign up for the Delta Foo House while there's still places open.
There's a really cool new guy who's pledging. His name is Hotshot. He's a great guy. Check out what he has to say.
Okay. We'll check that out on DeafFratGuy.com. T, what's coming up on the news?
Well, Kevin Federline, that's Mr. Britney Spears, has a little bit of a conspiracy theory. I'll let you in on that. And Matt Lauer saying goodbye to Katie Couric yesterday. Sincere or not, we'll give it a listen to.
Thank you. We'll be right back with the news. Au revoir, Deaf Rat Guy.
Hell yeah.
After this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. And if you miss Adam already, you can check him out online at adamcarolla.com.
Sid Stein, what is the answer, you know, when somebody confronts you? Because I get the feeling that
I'm not cheating. You have to be ready for that. I get that all the time because I wrote the book.
Yeah, I know, but you know what? I found I kind of screwed myself because my wife said, pass the salt, and I yelled, no, I'm not cheating. And I think it may have tipped her off.
Stick around. Headed your way. More on the Adam Carolla Show. Tomorrow morning on the Adam Carolla Show, Hollywood gossip from Perez Hilton. From Playboy TV, Jesse Jane.
Every time I get invited to come to the Adam Carolla Show, I end up taking off my clothes.
Saturday Night Live alumni, Tracy Morgan. And from The Sopranos, Joseph Gay Vito Ganascoli. And the guy who whacked him, Frank Vincent.
I don't want to get graphic beyond that. The idea of it repulses me so much.
All that and more tomorrow morning on the Adam Carolla Show.
Before we get to the news, wow, it sounds like a lot of show. Before we get to the news with the beautiful Teresa Strasser, I must admit something. I sort of, I bottomed out last night. I hit an all-time low in lethargy and laziness and also my love of the TiVo. I was sitting with my wife. We were watching TV about 8:30 last night, watching Modern Marvels, learning about...
History Channel.
Yeah, one of my favorite show. It doesn't matter what it is. They're just, you know, mining ore from the earth, and I just sit there and watch. I force my wife to watch. I shame her into watching, and I explain to her, that's why I'm smart.
This is damn exciting stuff.
We were watching Modern Marvels, and she said, you know what, I think I felt a contraction.
What?
I think I felt something.
That's a Modern Marvel.
Yeah, and I said, well, well, how do you know? What do you do? What should we do now? Because I got the speech from the nurse when she came over one Saturday afternoon 3 weeks ago, but I tuned out, and I did not retain any of the information she said. I think I just was counting the dimples on a throw pillow that was on the sofa nearby the entire time, and I completely tuned out.
How many dimples on the throw pillow?
169. The point is I said, well, so what do we do? And she said, well, we have to time the contractions. We're from the one, then when the first one starts, and we time it, and then we time it. That's how I know if I'm going into labor.
Right.
I sat there for a minute. I looked up at the clock that was up on the shelf. I said, well, no second hand there. Then I looked at my wrist. It was bare. No watch. I'm not wearing a watch. And I thought, well, I guess I got a watch upstairs in the room. I guess I could go get my watch. And then I went, I didn't want to pry myself off the sofa. I said, why don't we use the TiVo to time it out? Where are we at now? Yeah, we're at 23 minutes of Modern Marvels. I just, you know, I hit the send thing. We're at 23. Tell me when the one hits. I'll hit it.
How long was it?
Well, she was like, all right, there goes one. So it makes that bop sound. It makes the crazy TiVo sound, like the comic TiVo sound.
Was that your water breaking? No.
No, that was the TiVo.
That was Modern Marvels, the Titanic.
So I hit the thing, and I'm like, all right, well, there we go. Now, sound off. By the way, when the next one hits, and I'll hit the pause button, we'll see where we're at time-wise. Although it didn't factor the seconds in. You can kind of fast-forward it or rewind it a little and find out if you're close to the beginning of the minute or the end of it. So the first one was only like a minute apart, and then you had to wait for the second one. It interrupted Modern Marvels a few times. But one more reason why TiVo is the greatest invention on Earth. You can use it to time things.
Wait a second.
It is a stopwatch in your TV set. It's incredible.
Your wife had a contraction, and then she had another one a minute later?
So says she.
1 minute later.
It's unclear to me still, again, because I tuned out while the nurse was talking.
Well, do you recall the phrase Braxton Hicks? Contractions?
I remember that dude's name, but I don't remember where he played or what band he was with.
There are the contractions that come before uterine contractions that come before the real contractions.
Oh, I thought he was the 13th Idol guy. I thought he was the guy that got voted out just before the final
12. You can still see Braxton Hicks on tour with the other Idols.
If they said Braxton Hicks was opening for Pearl Jam, I would get there early. Yeah, I want to catch these guys.
The kid that swam to Alcatraz?
I think it is.
Wait.
Point is I used the TiVo. I've now plummeted to new depths.
Yeah, that's a TiVo.
I really have. I used the TiVo to time the contractions to my wife's twins. Yes.
I'm very concerned about this. Have you talked to your wife this morning? Have there been other contractions? Was that just the Braxton Hicks?
Well, I'll have to check the TiVo when I get home to find out whether she's given birth or not. I assume it'll be on one of the news programs. Wait a minute. Brian?
Yeah.
You want to make a comment about Big Brother?
Yeah, I do. I'm very against all the Big Brother technology that's going on. I heard you saying you don't have much of a problem with it.
No.
Because you think it's just they're after people that are carjacking or breaking laws or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think you're a pot smoker, right? And so you're breaking, and you're for legalization, I know, but until that happens, you're breaking laws all the time. And
yeah.
And what about jaywalking and driving 5 miles over the speed limit? The point about Big Brother and this technology is where does it stop, and who decides when it stops? It just keeps going and going and going.
All right, let me address this quickly for a second. First off, I don't mind weed. You hand me a joint at a party, I'll take a puff off it just to be cool. But I'm not really not smoke too much weed lately. I don't know. I outgrew it or something. I used to like it more. Now I'm a slave to red wine. That's my new mistress. The point is with Big Brother, here's what I'm saying. I feel like we should utilize the technology, whether it's DNA testing, whether it's surveillance cameras, whatever it is, we should use what we have to stop crime or to make society better. There is always a flip side to this. Whenever technology, whenever nuclear fusion comes around, then we get free abundant electricity, and we also get a bomb out of it. You know, TNT creates bombs, and it's also good for building dams. You know, there's always a flip side. The internet is great for information, but your kid could be talking to a predator. There is always a flip side to the information, but that doesn't mean you ignore it. You move forward.
But it can't be trusted to be used responsibly. If we had that technology, the Bush administration would use it to make sure that everybody lives by the Ten Commandments, literally.
My point is I do not think the government is inherently evil. I know a lot of people do. I think it's a narcissistic viewpoint. Guys like Brian over here, ironically, the guys that are most worried about Big Brother have the least going on in their life. You have nothing to lose. If you went to prison, it'd be a step up. I really mean it.
Three hots and a cot.
Brian, what do you do for a living?
I work for a tour company that does tours all over North America.
You make $9 an hour and you live in an apartment, right?
No, I don't even have an apartment, actually.
Where do you live?
I just travel the country.
Tour bus.
I travel the country in a tour bus. So,
right.
But
nothing. You're a modern-day gypsy.
Exactly.
All right, that's my point. The government has no interest in you. Here's what the government wants. It wants to ring guys like me and get money. The government is a business. Don't look at it as Big Brother. Look at it as big business. It wants your money. It needs your money. It's a monster that gobbles money, and you have to keep firing. You have to keep throwing it into the furnace. And if you have money, it wants it. I've said many times, here, I would wear a camera helmet around and let Big Brother look at every single move I made to save me 10% on my taxes. They take 40 cents out of every goddamn dollar you make. You don't think that's an intrusion? What month are we in? There's 12 months in the year. We're in the middle of May or end of May. I just stopped paying my taxes yesterday. I work for free for the goddamn government for the last 5 months, and now I get to keep the next 7 months. You don't think that's an intrusion? They want your money. Do they want to lock up guys like me? Hell no. I give them money, and then it costs them money to put me in prison. They're not evil. They're evil in the sense like evil landlords. They want money. They're shysters. They want money. But they put the cameras up at the intersections because they want money. Now, cameras up in the parking lots at the bank and everything, they have to do that. It stops crime. We don't get jittery and unruly, and they get to keep taking our money. That's the plan. They're not interested in your phone calls. They're not interested in what you're doing. They're interested, and they don't have enough time, by the way, and enough manpower to be interested in it. Stop it. It's narcissistic. Let them look wherever they want. You guys start focusing on keeping more of your money, you pussies, not where they're putting another camera up. Thank you. The more you know. All right, where
were
we?
There is an argument against that I will spare you.
Yeah, I know. Everybody.
Hitler did not announce in his first day, let's kill the Jews.
Right.
It's incremental, you see.
Yes, I know. You've,
it's a slippery slope argument that once they're listening to your phone calls, but I think what Adam
government
is saying is
wants, yeah.
They just want your money. They don't care about your phone calls.
What do they want to do? Lock up everyone? That's right. Let's take all 300 million citizens and just put them in the Huskow. That'll be fantastic. And then who's paying for it? That doesn't work. The math doesn't work, and they don't care enough. They're not evil. They're not evil. They want money. That's all. They're like business people. Sure, they pollute the rivers and everything, but they don't want to. It's just about the money. They don't hate rivers. They love money. Thank you.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
We didn't even start the news yet.
Nice sports, Dave. I tuned out, but it sounded good.
I learned a lot.
All right. Sorry. Go ahead with the news there, Teresa. Where were we?
Just now, the Iraqi government has announced its own investigation into allegations that United States Marines killed unarmed civilians in Haditha. The U.S. military is already conducting two investigations. Yesterday, Bush spoke for the first time about the controversy.
If, in fact, these allegations are true, the Marine Corps will work hard to make sure that that culture, that proud culture, will be reinforced. Oh. That those who violate the law, if they did, will be punished.
It is so painful when that teleprompter gets shut off. Please, fire it. He should have a teleprompter rolling in front of him when he goes to the bathroom.
Even when he talks to his wife.
That's right.
Never freestyle.
Should be looking over. Well, look, when he's telling his dog to go get a tennis ball after he throws it, he should be reading it off
the
teleprompter.
Someone should write a speech to the dog.
Yes. And by the way, let me say this. All you pussies that were complaining about the atrocities over at Abu Ghraib, this is a real atrocity.
Yeah.
This is an actual atrocity. There are body parts everywhere. There are 20-something people
24 dead. Yeah.
Women and children. This is what atrocity is, everybody. Not the nude pyramid, not the shaming the guy with the Quran, not the bosomy chick coming in to interrogate the guy. Oh, he didn't get to face Mecca. This is a real atrocity, you idiots. At least we know what atrocity is now.
Right. I mean, shaming somebody is bad, but at least they'll live.
I'd rather be shamed than have my head blown off.
Fair enough.
The more you know. Thank you.
I had to wait for that. Yesterday on the Today Show was Katie Couric's last day. Matt Lauer had many, many heartfelt moments. Here was just one.
You know, they call us co-anchors, and I hate it. I hate the term because we're partners, you know, and we have been partners over these last 10 years, 13 years in total, in every way possible. Not that way.
Yeah. Wait a second.
That would be a little weird.
Page but, six. I gave the speech to my wife last night when I was TiVoing her contractions. I said, they call us co-anchors. She said, no, they don't. I said, quiet, let me finish, bitch. And I just went on.
How'd that go?
Really.
Did Roker weep?
Tears flowed. Tears flowed
all around.
Chocolate
milk streaming down his
cheeks. Oh, come on.
His cheeks.
Kevin Federline, Britney Spears.
Not because he's black, it's because he's fat.
It's because he's heavy. Right? Yeah, yeah. I got you.
You make fun of fat people.
Kevin Federline comes out in Item magazine with some complaints and one conspiracy theory. He says, quote, the same day Dick Cheney shoots someone, they've got me on the cover of MSN.com. It's like they're diverting attention from what's really going on.
Wow.
K-Fed conspiracy theory.
Once in a while, I think to myself, do I just hate him because everyone else hates him? Maybe he's a cool guy. Maybe I would like him if we hung out together. And then I realize, no, I should hate him, right? Smart, right?
Good instinct.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, Brusket, I'm done? Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was the news. I'm Teresa Strasser.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Shocking news. Bruska told me I have to make the sports very, very big.
They gave me this note, 1 minute sports.
He gives everyone notes.
That was 5 minutes ago, so I don't know
All I'll say is this. I made a mistake in my previous sportscast, for which I owe everyone an apology. I said tonight's big game 5 between the Dallas Mavericks and Phoenix Suns was going to be played in the Valley of the Sun. I misspoke, but I think
that's
it was
your minute.
I think I subconsciously wanted to say the Valley of the Sun again because I think it's a more favorable name for Teresa's vagina than Cowtown, which is Dallas's nickname.
That. Yeah, good
That's
point.
Not a good,
good
name.
Point.
And the only other thing I'll say, I'll skip the baseball, but did you see that the new? There's a new report from Europe saying that Lance Armstrong is, in fact, innocent of all these anti-doping charges that were, of course, brought by the World Anti-Doping Agency, and by who heads it, Dick Pound. I think we can see what's going on here. What his axe to grind is. His name's Dick Pound.
Yeah.
And he's a nerd. and he's going after. I'm taking down a guy who rides a motorcycle, who rides his bike up and through the hills, and his name is Lance Armstrong, the greatest name of all time, or maybe gay porn name versus Dick Pound.
Yeah, well,
the Dick worst. Pound is not a bad porn name.
You're right.
It's not bad. It's no Dick Nibbler.
That's all I have to say. Right.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right, Janice Dickinson, supermodel. Janice Dickinson, supermouth. Janice Dickinson hates everyone and isn't scared to
behind
talk
closed
about
doors
it.
In the green room right
I
now.
I cannot
rarely.
Wait to talk to her.
Yes, super nutty supermodel. Up next.
There's more coming up.
Hell yeah.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Jack Nicholson.
You can't handle the truth.
Sylvester Stallone.
Adrian, it's me, Rocky.
Bruce Willis.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother...
And Mick Jagger. With Warren Beatty, John Lovitz, Liam Neeson, and Dolph Lundgren. It's not a summer blockbuster movie. It's just a list of guys Janice Dickinson banged. And she's in the studio right now on the
yes,
Adam Carolla Show.
Adam's next.
Really? Again?
Hot.
I fell in love with Janice Dickinson when I saw I Believe You're Eating Was. Oh, man.
Oh,
kind
sorry.
Of society we
I'm
living
so
in.
Sorry.
Well, when Jerry Brown gets in office, we'll be able to say that word on the radio.
Boobies!
Boobs, you were looking at my breasts.
I like the fact that you're an open book and a loose cannon at the same time.
Right back at you, kiddo.
Thank you, baby doll. Mm. The new book, by the way, is called Check Please, which is coming out on the 6th of June.
6666.
And also the Janice Dickinson Modeling Agency, which is coming on to Oxygen Tuesday at 10 o'clock this next Tuesday, 10 o'clock. So is it true that you did sleep with all these guys, by the way?
Indeed.
It is.
Who was your favorite? Between the sheets.
Between the sheets? Oh, I haven't gotten there yet. I mean, Adam hasn't asked me out.
Oh, really?
No, I haven't gotten there yet. No, I can't even remember.
A lot of range. Lovitz, Nicholson, Zappa.
Yeah, it's hard.
Even Kelly LeBrock, the model. You know, here it is, guys. You know, I just, you know, I write, you guys buy the books and read. I get rich and you laugh. It's easy.
But a really and truly a threesome with Dolph Lundgren and Grace Jones?
No, well, yeah.
Really?
Well, I won't deny it. Yeah, it happened. You know, those were the days back before AIDS. It was a different lifestyle. People were freer.
Yeah.
You know, you can't nod. You're a baby.
Lots of coke.
Nodding.
So
thank you.
Lots of coke and no AIDS minus.
Okay.
Clean
it up, bad man.
I'm
a member of the PTA now. You know, I don't mind who I bang, but it's, you know, the drug thing we'll leave out.
All right. That's part of your
clean
past.
And sober now.
Indeed.
And
you know what else I like? Your father molested you, you're angry at him, and you don't forgive him, which I like.
No,
I don't like when people forgive parents that do horrible things to them.
Pedophilia is not a cool subject, you know, and it's something I'm working on. People say, yeah, you need to forgive, to forget, to move on. I just can't seem to get that that through.
Well, why do we pound that home in our society? Somebody kills, some drunk driver kills a loved one, somebody molests you or your child, and you're supposed to forgive
no,
so you can move on
and
F them.
String them up and, you know, zap, you know, testicles. I burn them.
Right.
It's a Christian concept that you're supposed to forgive.
Yeah.
Some things aren't worth forgiving.
Yeah.
No, not pedophilia, ever. Not to a child, not robbing innocence, ever.
Is dad gone now?
He's gone.
Good. Yeah. Let him rot in hell.
Hope so. You know, I went on some psychic show, and she said he was in the room, and I was like, get him out. You know,
I know.
If I didn't want him, you know, around when he was living, why would I want his spirit around? I'm sorry to sound so hardcore, but, you know, I'm on your show, aren't I?
Sure. Yeah. Sure. How about Omarosa? See her in hell, too?
You know, I mean, she's so toxic. Why even bring it up? It's a beautiful day. The sun's shining. I don't want to talk about her.
I don't want to talk about her either. But maybe you two were saw too much of each other in each other?
No, darling. I just took the money. It was 12 days on Surreal Life. I took the money and ran. It paid for my daughter's private education for a year.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how much, who? And I didn't know that she was going to be on the show before I did the show. And right. I got there, and I thought it was Rick James selling real estate at the front door.
Sure.
She's like, welcome to the house. And I was
Rick James had been dead for over a year at that time, so it was really
Rick James
crazy.
And he came back.
And, I did see the episode where you're sort of waving the knife around the kitchen, and Omarosa thought maybe it was heading toward
her.
But
you know, it was a segment producer setup. They asked me to hold a butcher knife, and I just, well, I'm a supermodel, aren't I? And she's not, so he asked me to pick up the knife, which I did, and she flipped, and they knew that she would flip if I picked up
the
knife.
It was cooked, as we say in the business.
It was fried,
ironically,
flooded.
Yeah, in the kitchen. So how did it all start for you? When did you begin modeling?
Dr. Adam.
I'm curious how this works.
1979, I went to New York. I was broke. I was trying to make it as a model.
Mm-hmm.
No one would hire me. I had sloppy features, big lips, almond-shaped eyes. People said I was too ethnic looking to sell magazines in America.
Mm-hmm.
So I got rejected, but it made me really tough, and I had to go to Europe to come back, to be discovered by the French, to come back with a portfolio of photographs like that big, that thick.
Mm-hmm.
To break down the
doors.
Rick
James for
I love
you.
That.
You now
he
come
wrote that song for me.
You now come back to the United States in the early 80s.
Revenge, spiteful, meaner than
on the cover of all the magazines.
Vogue,
everyone
can
kiss
every
your ass.
Every magazine and then some in every country. I was the it girl back in the late 70s, early 80s. Meaning, since I'm the it girl, of course the A-list actors, the rock stars are all going to be courting me.
Sure.
So I had a Merlin phone, and I had the phones used to be lit up. I mean, Warren, Mick, Jack, ding, ding, ding. I'd have them all on hold. It was cool.
Well,
wouldn't you?
That's what's interesting, is that you shared your bed with many, but you said no to Bill Cosby. True?
Let's just skip over that. We don't want lawsuits. He's more powerful than God.
It was really the obnoxious sweater that he was wearing at the time.
It was just wrong. He was married, and he's just a lech.
All right.
You're not the first one to say it. Leave it at that.
So,
you're good.
Yeah, let's talk Stallone. Now, you guys had a relationship, right?
We did.
I mean, you were more than boyfriend and girlfriend, even,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you know, I helped him shine his elevator shoes. That was fun.
He wears the boots, so he's seen. How tall is he?
I don't know. He's like 4'11".
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Nice.
No,
he's rounding.
Funnier than a pig, and can't say that.
Who's the most passionate out of the guys?
God,
Jack Nicholson.
You are just sweating over here. Look, you're perspiring. You just want to know the grit, don't you?
I'm horny.
You're so... Me so horny.
Janice did say you were a good-looking man before.
Very good-looking.
Really?
It's him.
You so just say funny. That. You're one of these women that knows what a guy likes, right? You know,
no,
to make a guy
wrong.
Feel good.
I know
yes,
what
does.
People like because I'm with people. I wrote this book. Judith Regan, the great Judy, gave me another book deal on dating. It was my take on the dating in the dating world,
right?
And dating, mating, extricating. She wanted a subtitle. How to pick up boys and dump them when you're done. But I was like, no, that's a bit too raunchy. I don't want to send my daughter the wrong message.
Sure.
But no, it's not about vocabulary, about people wanting to hear. Or to please them. It's about, I actually have the experience of going out with some of the most fantastic men on the planet and sharing my experiences.
Well, but who was the most vigorous lover?
Yes, yes.
God, that's all guys want to hear. Who bones the best?
Jack Nicholson or Warren Beatty?
Who? What about who smells
Which
the
would
best?
You rather?
You know,
who smelled the
who
best?
Who whispers the best?
Better yet, who smelled the worst?
I'm not going to tell you. You'll have to buy the book.
All right, let me ask this question then. Is there a difference between these guys and civilians?
No.
Are they more passionate? Is there anything different that made them great that, I don't know, that they have a tenacity that actually moves into the bedroom?
No.
Or are they worse? They're lazy.
Because I see sanitation workers that are a lot hotter than some A-list actors out there. And I see some firemen that have a lot more bravado.
Mm-hmm.
And policemen. I mean, I like a good motorcycle
But you wouldn't
cop.
Go out with any of those guys.
Why not?
You would?
Why not?
Hmm.
Oh, yes, they would.
You say in your book that you really love mama's boys. And that mama's boys make great boyfriends.
Did I say
hello.
That?
Yeah.
I lied.
You said that.
I must have lied. No, I must have been lying. I mean, that was a bad morning. Did I say that?
Yeah, and you said specifically
about
Jews and Italians.
Good Christ, I'm gay.
A good Jew and a good Italian love them.
Well, you got one good Jew and one good Italian right here. You can start loving them right now.
You guys are so funny. I love your show so much.
Thank you. We need to take a quick break. Janice Dickinson is in studio. She has a show, Janice Dickinson Modeling Agency. coming out on Oxygen Network at 10 o'clock on Tuesday, coming up almost a week from today, maybe about 5 days. And also June 6th is when the book comes out. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Janice after this.
The Adam Carolla Show. If you can think of a better way to wake up, we'd like to hear it.
With twins, with twin babies, everybody who has a baby of roughly the same age as your baby, they always say, oh, they're going to be dating in a few years.
I'm putting a new twist on it, which is they'll be dating each other.
If you keep listening, he'll keep talking. The Adam Carolla Show.
This is Kevin Nealon, and you're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. I love the Cult. Cult is great stripper music.
Hot.
Yeah. You know you're in the right strip club when you're hearing the Cult going.
That's where nice. Do you go to? Which strip clubs do you go to?
Well,
Adam,
I now pretty much only go when I'm in Vegas, you know. But, you know, I like to go to the Olympic Garden. And I like to go across the street from the Hard Rock and go to Club Paradise or whatever it is.
See, it's really scary. I have a 19-year-old son, Nathan, and he's like always, he and his friends are...
I'll take him out to Crazy Girls this afternoon.
That's all I need. Experiment Rhino.
That's just all I need. Oh, Nathan and Adam Carolla. But he would love that.
Yeah. We got Janice Dickinson's young son. We're going to pop his cherry up on stage. Get
him
out there.
He's been popped by a midget hooker.
Jade, stage three. Jade, three. Jade,
jump back.
Get the paddle out. It's the kid's birthday.
That's
it, Colin. Yeah, hey, man. Ziggy Soaky.
You don't want to dance with the devil.
Janice just said that her son was deflowered by a midget hooker.
Oh, my God. I wrote it on his homecoming football, the football flyers. Dear Nate, stop with the midget hookers, love mom. And I floated it throughout the whole school, and he was horrified.
He's not a virgin anymore, is he?
No, I guess not.
By the way, is he going to listen to you? I mean, you're going to tell him you've brought shame to the family?
What are you going to do? He's the greatest thing. He's a PA on my show, the Janice Dickinson Modeling Agency show, and I'm really proud of him. He's his first year over at Loyola. He's doing great.
What did Cosby say to you to him?
You turned down Bill Cosby, yes?
Here we go again, you guys.
What did he say?
Don't remember.
You want a little pudding in the popcorn?
Something like that? Does that sound familiar?
I don't remember. I ran.
I leave my Argyle sweater on the floor by the bed.
I'll tell you, America's number one dad, Bill Cosby. Really.
History
not being kind to that status. Janice Dickinson, everybody, thank you for coming in. Sorry we're out of time. My dear, the Janice Dickinson Modeling Agency. Name of the show, Oxygen Network, on Tuesday, 10 o'clock. Go out and check that out. Actually, stay in and check that out. Also, the book, Check Please, out on June 6th. We have one now. I will read it as I'm driving home. I'm that enthusiastic about it. I want to thank Jeff Ross for coming in, Jerry Brown for coming in, and, of course, Janice. Nice job.
Thank you,
Adam. We'll take a quick break.
Love you.
Love you, baby.
Love you more.
Quick 20 hours off. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.